It's 6 past the hour on Air America Radio, and this is Morning Sedition.
Good morning, geniuses, philosopher kings and queens. How are you? Nice to talk to you. Good morning to people who buy books that make them feel smarter but never read them. Or if they do read them, they only read the first 20 pages and they put it on the shelf and they say to themselves, I get it. I mean, how much do you really have to read? I know it's an entire thesis. I know there are 400 pages of political theory and broad-based progressive speculation. But, you know, I get it, man. I underlined a few things. You ever do that, Riley? No. Good morning, Riley.
You talking to me, man?
You don't do that.
No, I don't do that. I try to read at least one or two things.
You're all wasted on the brownies I made.
I'm wasted on the brownies. I'm wasted on the second stinking flat tire I've gotten in the last 6 months or so on my way down here in the morning.
But wait, didn't you have a spare, Mark Riley?
Bite me, Mary. No, I didn't have a stinking spare, all right? I had to park my car in the middle of 128th Street off of Park Avenue. For those of you who live in New York, you know where this is.
Oh, so at least you had something to do for an hour.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, sit there and wait for AAA, and they didn't get there on time.
The parade of crack whores wasn't appealing?
No. No, although they all shot the parade of shoes, I guess.
Oh, my God.
You know, you really see the essence of a city at 4 o'clock in the between 4 and 5 o'clock in the morning is people are just, like, walking out. The guys that have the trucks that sell the donuts and coffee and stuff.
They're the people just getting to work, and then they're the walking dead.
Yeah, well, I mean, all of these people, they congregate under the elevated train tracks on Park Avenue. It's a very weird experience. And now, when we're done here at 9 o'clock, I got to go back uptown and get my car fixed. So, but this is a wonderful day for me so far.
Well, at least you got plans. You know, it's nice to know what you're going to be doing later in the afternoon. At least you don't have to say, well, what am I going to do this afternoon? Now you know.
Well, I was going to celebrate the lifting of the curse of the Bambino with the rest of Boston.
Hey, get past me here, because I can't talk about this, because I'm a girl.
No, you don't have to get it.
Apparently something happened. Something happened in Boston.
For the first time in 86 years, the Boston Red Sox won the World Series. They swept the St. Louis Cardinals 4-0. Let's move on.
Dan Pashman, son of Louis and Linda Pashman of New Jersey, and grandson of...
Don't turn his mic on, Kalo. Don't turn it on.
What's your grandmother's name?
Edith Sanz, of Marblehead, Massachusetts.
Edith, we hear that this is the first time in your long life that you have ever seen the Boston win. And your grandmother's how old?
84.
And is she excited?
She's very excited, yes.
Come on. Right now she's even more excited. She's like, oh, my God, Dan's on.
No, she actually takes the radio with her all over the house when Morning Sedition is on. We are dominating the grandparents of Dan Pashman demographic in the Boston area.
It's all important grandparents demographic.
Tell me what the implications of this are, Dan. What's give me the projectile, the projected, what's going to happen to Boston, to the Boston sports fan scene now?
Life will never be the same
again. Obviously, yes.
Partly because they're probably going to burn the city to the ground tonight,
right?
Did last night.
Now, wait a minute. Before you go any further, let me urge the citizens of Boston who are listening to us this morning, don't burn your city.
Yeah, take
Detroit
it easy.
Detroit did it in 1984. They haven't been back to the series since. All right. So don't burn your city down. At the very least, it'll be another 86 years before you win again if you do.
And please, Boston cops, don't start shooting people.
Yeah.
Please. Okay, just take it easy up there. We know you're excited.
I don't think that's funny.
It's not funny. There's no reason to freak out. People will settle down. Look, they're drunk. They're eventually going to need a nap.
Yes.
So please, just let them eventually just... It'll dissipate. They'll get over this.
Right. And if you are still out in the streets celebrating right now, duck.
Yeah.
Because it could be a projectile.
There's nothing scary when I was in Boston than to be in Kenmore Square after a sporting event. You know, because, you know, here I was, you know, little, you know, pseudo-intellectual Mark with my wireframe round glasses and my little overcoat just being steamrolled by Southie people. You know what I mean? Just coming in drunk. I used to be terrified of them.
Yeah.
Terrified.
Yeah. And, I mean, my uncle Joe is out there in Boston, too. He's over 60 years old, and he's never even... It was 20 years before he was born that the Red Sox won a championship. So this is like the equivalent of the Berlin Wall falling in Boston.
So now they got, you know, the Celtics were also a great basketball team, so they always had a pretty good basketball team. But this is where now they got two teams that are great.
Yes.
Well, they got the New England Patriots, too, that have a 21-game winning streak. So, I mean, and Boston College is doing well. This is time for Boston to feel its oats. I mean, I'd give it to them.
You know what? We only need one more Boston victory, and that's next Tuesday.
Absolutely. That's going to happen. Let's talk about the vote. Thank you, Dan.
Thank you. Hi, Grandma.
Did we cover it enough? Did we get enough in?
Yeah, we got enough in. Let's move on.
I'm sad that I don't know much about sports. You know, my brother was always a sports guy.
I've always enjoyed sports. I've never quite been able to figure out the whole Red Sox curse thing, but hey, it's done.
He's a tennis brother. My brother was a tennis player.
He had big
hopes and dreams in the world of tennis.
Oh, he wanted to be like Jimmy Connors.
And then those hopes and dreams crumbled, and now he plays recreationally. He opened a business for a while. We don't need to talk about my brother. He's doing all right. Good morning, Craig. If you're up in Phoenix,
then you probably
shouldn't be up. You should be sleeping. So what was I going to say? I'm going to be in San Francisco this weekend, Friday and Saturday, at Cobb's Comedy Club for the Stand Up for Your Rights Part 2 with Will Durst, Kevin Rooney. David Feldman's going to be there. He's a writer for Bill Maher. He's a very funny guy. Jim Short, my buddy Jim Short, just won the San Francisco Comedy Competition. We'll be there tomorrow night. You can get information and buy tickets at www.cobbscomedyclub.com. It should be big fun in the Bay Area.
Yo, I wish I was going, man, because I love San Francisco. It's a great city. It's a city that takes its comedy. I don't want to say it takes it seriously, because that's like stupid. But people really go out to comedy clubs.
Well, it used to be a real, it still is to some degree, and I think it's bouncing back all over comedy a little bit, because I think, honestly, if I'm going to be honest, this last Comic Standing thing has really sort of, you know, resurged a certain interest in comedy, which is weird, but it has.
I think current times have probably helped that surge just a little bit, too.
I think so, you know, but there aren't a tremendous amount of political comics. I mean, there are the guys you see on TV, but there's not a ton of them. But Durst is a good one. Rooney has been around for years. He used to write for Dennis Miller. He's written for a number of people. He wrote for Dennis Miller before Dennis Miller turned. He was, I think, one of the original writers.
Bad Milk or something?
Yeah. But when I was a kid, you know, I used to see Kevin Rooney on stage in, on TV and in comedy clubs. He's always very funny. I'm looking forward to working with him. I'm looking forward to going, man.
Uh-huh.
Now, let's get some voter information out there, because I still get, I'm getting emails from people. I got an email from a listener. Listen to this. This is from Rachel. I just got a call from my friend Allison, who moved from New Jersey to Georgia about a year ago, not having voted in an election in years, but outraged by what is going on in the country and the world these days. She decided to vote this year. She changed her registration online from Jersey to Georgia right before the deadline and received a registration card in the mail a few days later. Mildly upset that they had spelled her name wrong and also thinking that she might not be in the state on election day due to an illness in the family, she did some research, found out that you could vote early in her district. And she headed down to see what she could do before she left the state. Appalled at the six-hour line that she would have to wait on to vote early, she opted to go to the desk where there was no line and asked about an absentee ballot and to see if it would be a problem to get the registration card fixed to show her proper name. She had on hand her Social Security card, her passport, and a recent mail with her Georgia address on it to prove who she was. The woman behind the desk told her that the registration card she had was not valid because the date on it was too late and that she was not in the system. The woman behind the desk took away her voter registration card and asked her to fill out another form that would be filed the day after the election so that she could vote in 2008. Now, Allison, a female Democrat redheaded Jew living in Georgia, can't vote, nor can she, I wonder why all the details, nor can she even plead her case to a lawyer because she doesn't have her evidence anymore. She is now furious, and, you know, she should be. I don't know exactly what we can do. Please pass this along and let people know that this is going on. Inform your friends of their rights at the polls. Well, we have been all week, Rachel, and thanks for sharing that story with us.
I think that she can call 866-OUR-VOTE, but as a general rule of thumb, never give your voter registration card to anybody.
Okay.
Not even to somebody that tells you, well, it's not in the system or whatever. At least then you have proof that you did, in fact, try to register. But if they didn't give it back to you, and I think there may be some reasons why she didn't get that registration card back, you know, at this point, I think her main hope is to call 866-OUR-VOTE and show up on election day if she possibly can at her precinct and demand an absentee ballot there.
And there's we've also got another
provisional ballot, excuse me.
Right. We've also got another story here about a Republican stifling a Democratic vote in the form of taking a woman hostage. I'll cover that a little bit with the news after this. It's 15 past the hour here on Air America Radio.
Hi, this is Al Frank, and I care about who's elected president on November 2nd. And it's never been more important who we choose for the future of America. So listen up. Right now, the polls in the Buckeye State show a deadlock, and the fact of the matter is, It's all going to come down to the ground game and who wants it more. You know, Paul Wellstone used to say that the future belongs to those who are passionate and work hard. Well, the future is in your hands, and I'm asking you to be passionate and work hard by contributing your time and money to the Ohio Democratic Party. Go to OhioDems.org. OhioDems.org. That's not hard to remember, is it? OhioDems.org. You know, sometimes we tell ourselves to save money for a rainy day. This is it. This is that rainy day. We can't let these people take this country in the wrong direction for four more years. Do yourself, your children, your country a favor. Volunteer or write a check by going to OhioDems.org.
This ad is paid for by the Ohio Democratic Party, Dennis White Chair.
Hi, this is Al Franken, the host of the Al Franken Show on Air America Radio. For the last 6 months, we've been doing 3 hours a day of cutting-edge radio programming. We've had guests like Bill Clinton, John Kerry, and Strom Thurmond.
Yeah, Pekka, it knows no bigotry.
We've covered events like the handover of power in Iraq. We've explained difficult concepts like the growing national debt using nothing more than an ordinary slide whistle. Now we're presenting our show in a convenient, easy-to-use, one-hour version every night on Sundance Channel. Finally, you'll be able to see what we're talking about. Right, Strom?
That's right. Yippee! I'm going on TV.
Tune in every night at 11:30 on Sundance Channel for the Al Franken Show. If you don't get Sundance Channel, go to their website, sundancechannel.com. Al and Sundance Channel. Together again.
Jim Brewer is now on Sirius Raw Dog 147 5 days a week.
He won't leave.
And we're very excited about it.
We let him do one show as a favor.
Now you've got Brewer 5 days a week.
And he just started showing up every day.
Jim Brewer.
He brought a sleeping bag.
Monday through Friday.
Now he sleeps here.
Sirius Raw Dog 147.
That was 6 months ago.
Hey, dude.
Oh, hey, Jim. Huh, I'll see you there. Oh, no, thanks. I'm cool. Right on. Jim Brewer. Every day, 4 p.m. Eastern, every week, forever.
Oh, God.
Starting Monday on Raw Dog.
Is your child included in your activities? I'm Mark Merrill with today's Family Minute. In our world today, it seems like we often segregate children from our daily living. We separate the kids from the adults at events we attend, in sports we play, at church, and at work. If we really want our children to learn from us, then it is absolutely necessary that they see us in our regular routine. We need to keep them joined at the hip. Let's teach our children life's lessons by including them when we do housework, yard work, run errands, and even at work when possible. Remember, your family first.
The Family Minute with Mark Merrill is a production of Family First. To find out about ways you can build a stronger family, go to FamilyMinute.net. That's FamilyMinute.net. Or call 1-800-956-8300. That's 1-800-956-8300.
Wash off the blackboard. Put away the books. Take down the posters.
Put away the gym balls.
Empty out our desks.
Scrape our names off the lockers.
Pull our drawings off the walls.
Put it all in the garbage.
Throw it away.
Throw it all away.
AIDS has killed more children worldwide than there are in all the grade schools in New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, Washington, Atlanta, and Miami combined. The time to do something is now. The place is apathyislethal.org. AIDS is preventable. Apathy is lethal.
A public service announcement brought to you by the United Nations Foundation and the Ad Council.
Let's be blunt about marijuana. Did you know, as many kids do, that blunt is street slang for a hollowed-out cigar filled with marijuana? Sometimes blunts contain marijuana mixed with cocaine, crack, PCP, methamphetamine, even embalming fluid. How's that for a reality check? Learn to have a blunt talk with your kids about drugs. Call 1-800-729-6686 for a free copy of Keeping America's Youth Drug-Free.
the hour.
This weekend, Cobb's Comedy Club. Come on down. www.cobbscomedyclub.com. Big show that I'm involved with many other people, political in nature. It's going to be exciting. Listen to this. West Palm Beach. An 18-year-old Marine recruit remained in jail on Wednesday, charged with threatening to stab his girlfriend over her choice for president. News Partner News Channel 5 reported in its noon broadcast, the enlistee, Stephen Scott Soper of Lake Worth, became enraged Tuesday night when his 18-year-old girlfriend said she was leaving him and voting for John Kerry for president.
Now, I wonder in which order she told him this. I said, look, it's over, and I'm voting Kerry for president.
Yeah, or whether it started with a political discussion, which is why she's
I'm voting Kerry for president, and by the way, you don't seem to like that, so we're quits.
Or maybe the guy's just crazy.
that might work.
Soper, who will enter the Marines as soon as he passes a GED test, solidly supports Bush. Now, I think that's very revealing about the type of people that support Bush. He allegedly told girlfriend Stacy, I don't need to say her name, I guess, even though it's in the press, you'll never live to see the election.
Whoa! Oh,
man, Palm Beach Sheriff's Office deputies called to the home in Lake Worth and said that they had to use a taser, electronic stun gun, to subdue Soper. They described Soper as enraged and said he was holding his girlfriend captive. He was armed with a screwdriver and threatening to stab her in the neck. They said when she eventually broke free, a deputy fired the taser, shocking him into submission, and he's charged with aggravated assault. So that's an interesting Republican action.
To stifle the vote. Here's my question. He's charged with aggravated assault. He's in jail without bond until he undergoes a psychiatric exam that maybe he should have undergone before he signed up for the Marines.
Yeah, that's what I'm wondering. It's like now we got to call up the story to see.
Did he actually end up enlisting? Is this guy going to be a soldier in Iraq?
It sounds like, he probably will. I bet you $20.
Well, after he does his time?
No, I don't think he's going to do any time. It's a domestic thing. He's not going
to
do any time.
He's going to try. He tried to stab his girlfriend in the neck.
I bet she doesn't do any time. You know why?
She won't press charges.
Well, they need to vote.
Now that I think of it, you're right. They do need to vote.
They don't want to put him on the list. He'd be the only white guy in the felon list down there.
Yeah, really.
And, they need to vote. That's all. So they'll put him. Maybe they'll engage a sentence, next week at the end of the week. So let's get into this quickly, not even quickly. Let's talk about what's going on behalf of the Republicans trying to obfuscate this Alcaca weapons ripoff. The kiting of the cash in Alcaca is now being spun into this, something that shouldn't be confusing.
This is, again, one of those, and see, the Bush administration has the Bush-Cheney campaign, just as importantly, have their own spin meisters in place. They know that this kind of revelation just before an election could potentially be very damaging. There's really no way, Mark, to get around this as far as the administration is concerned. They knew because the IAEA, the International Atomic Energy Agency, told them in January of 2003, two full months before they invaded, that there were weapons caches at Alcaca. They knew this.
Yeah.
The IAEA told them this.
Yeah.
And yet.
And then they told them to leave.
And then they told them to leave when they invaded. The IAEA was kicked out of Iraq.
Yeah.
And then you send troops into Alcaca, and the commander of those troops, the commander of the 101st Airborne, says, I had no idea there were any weapons caches there. I wasn't told until last week.
But this was after a series of events. Okay, Monday morning, the New York Times reported that nearly 380 tons of powerful conventional explosives are missing from one of Iraq's most sensitive former military installations, and that Bush administration officials say they cannot explain why the explosives were not safeguarded. And then Monday afternoon, this is the important one, a Pentagon spokesman, someone from the administration, says U.S.-led coalition troops had searched Alcaca in the immediate aftermath of the March 2003 invasion and confirmed that the explosives, which had been under IAEA seal since 1991, were intact. That's a Pentagon spokesman, a spokesperson for the administration. Then, out of nowhere, NBC reporter Lei Ling Ju says that when she was embedded with the American troops when they visited Alcaca on April 10, 2003, the day after Baghdad fell, she did not see any explosives. Then it becomes revealed that they didn't look for them. There's 1,000 buildings at this compound. The 101st was not there to look for explosives because they weren't told they were there, even though they knew the government was there. So the Republicans try to spin her saying, an NBC reporter, This is how low down and, you know, and just nasty and deceptive they try to be. A reporter said, I didn't see any. Not, you know, we investigated and didn't see any. Not, we looked in all the buildings or even one of the buildings. I didn't see any. So they latch onto that, trying to contradict a statement from the Pentagon and say that, see, it's confusing what's going on. It's not confusing. You admitted the weapons were there. And then the 101st and people, you know, in and around that area, you know, after the invasion said there was looting going on, there are witnesses to the looting of weapons from Al-Qaqa. So it's possible that some were taken before, but it's also definite that some were taken after the invasion. So the argument does not hold. The weapons were there before we invaded. Bush's people knew the weapons were there. Bush's people didn't secure the weapons. The weapons were stolen and are now likely fueling the insurgency and being used against U.S. troops, and it is Bush's fault, and there's no way they can spin this any other way.
Well, they have to answer some very fundamental questions. The facts are these. In April 2003, 15 days, 2 weeks after the invasion, troops from the 3rd Infantry, the U.S. 3rd Infantry, went through Al-Qaqa and they found, quote, looters everywhere, unquote, taking as many weapons as they could carry. Now, barely a week later, as a matter of fact, a week to the day later, April 10th, the 2nd Brigade of the 101st Airborne goes to the same site, to Al-Qaqa. Okay, and that was where Lai Ling said that they didn't find any weapons. They only inspected 119 out of the 1,000 buildings on the site. But the fact of the matter is, does anybody believe that if the 3rd Infantry saw looters everywhere a week earlier, that maybe they took took as much as they could take by the time the 101st Airborne got there? And why did no one try to secure the weapons when the 3rd Infantry in April 3rd, saw the looters?
Yeah, this is a real deal. And then Cheney was just trying to spin it. They're trying to make it confusing. It's not confusing. Their own guy said they were there after the invasion. It's not confusing. You know, this is the same guy that said that there was a link between terrorists and Iraq. I mean, this is the same administration that will just repeat things to their base because their base are primarily stupid and narrow-minded. And now we've got also a ghostwriter from Bush's book that was not published who said that Bush had his eyes on Iraq, you know, for a very interesting reason. That we'll talk about that after this break.
Yeah, absolutely. For an interesting reason and for a long, long time.
That's
hey,
right.
Hey, Ramon!
Oh, hey,
whoa.
Okay, let's
whoa.
Talk to him.
Okay,
looks bad.
We'll talk to him. We got the bomb pilot coming up. We've also got the liberal agenda direct from the Streisand compound as Air America Radio rolls on.
Million Americans are uninsured, and those with insurance continue to face skyrocketing costs and less coverage. Stop being deprived of the coverage you need and get the advantage, MedAdvantage. MedAdvantage has been lowering healthcare costs for the insured and uninsured since 1995. Don't let rising prescription and healthcare costs take advantage of you. Get MedAdvantage instead. You can save hundreds of dollars per year with this simple and easy-to-use program. Membership is just $99 per year and will cover your entire family. There are no forms to fill out and no waiting for reimbursement. Call MedAdvantage at 888-595-4217 and start saving now. Membership is available to everyone regardless of age or medical condition. In fact, we're so confident you'll be pleased with the MedAdvantage program, we're offering a full 100% money-back guarantee. Call MedAdvantage at 888-595-4217 and start saving now. Once again, call 888-595-4217. MedAdvantage, reducing the personal cost of healthcare.
MedAdvantage is not an insurance plan.
Jim Brewer is now on Sirius Raw Dog 147 5 days a week.
He won't leave.
And we're very excited about it.
We let him do one show as a favor.
Now you've got Brewer 5 days a week.
And he just started showing up every day.
Jim Brewer.
He brought his sleeping bag.
Monday through Friday.
Now he sleeps here.
Sirius Raw Dog 147.
That was 6 months ago.
Hey, dude.
Oh, hey, Jim. Huh, see you there. Oh, no, thanks. I'm cool. Right on.
Jim Brewer. Every day, 4 p.m. Eastern, every week, forever.
Oh, God.
Starting Monday on Raw Dog.
Hey, this is Dave Ramsey, and this is your Daily Money Makeover. Rhonda wants to know how to help her mom with credit card debt. I'll help her after this.
Federal college loan rates are now at their lowest levels in history. So if you currently have high-interest student loans, it's time to refinance. Just call 1-800-2-COLLEGE. With one call, you could be on your way to saving thousands. That's 1-800-2-COLLEGE.
Rhonda's mother has some credit card debt and needs help.
My mother, she's got two credit cards.
She's got one that's got $3,000 and one that's got $2,000, and they're very high interest rates. We're talking like 28%. She said she's paying more interest, of course, than anything for the...
Okay, so $5,000 clears her up.
Right.
How old is
she? She's 56.
Does she work?
Yes, she does. She works 40 hours a week. Her home is paid for. She's got a mobile home on a piece of land, and her land's paid for. And she wants to put her land up and get a loan to pay these credit cards off.
You know, there's no way in the world she should pledge her land for this stuff. She needs to get these scissors out, cut these cards up, and take an extra job. Interest is not her problem. She needs $1,000 a month for 5 months.
Right.
That's her problem.
Yeah.
She's not making much.
Yes.
And so she's going to work an extra job for 5 months, $1,000 a month.
This has been your Daily Money Makeover with best-selling author and America's most trusted source for financial straight talk, Dave Ramsey.
AIDS has killed nearly 6 million children worldwide. That's more than every child in every preschool, grade school, and high school in New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, Washington, Atlanta, and Miami combined. The time to do something is now. The place is apathyislethal.org. AIDS is preventable. Apathy is lethal.
A public service announcement brought to you by the United Nations Foundation and the Ad Council.
You can have 20 million people around you all the time. When you don't have love for yourself, you're lonely.
Mary J. Blige, recording artist.
Drugs used to make me feel no pain at all. Once the feeling is gone, you're back to feeling like you're nobody. Love starts from inside you. I just accepted who I was. I accepted Mary. That fills the loneliness. When you really love you, it's a way of healing.
A message from the Partnership for Drug-Free America.
Learning water safety is just one way you can make your family and your community safer. Your local Red Cross also offers training in other life-saving skills, like first aid, CPR, and AED. When we come together, we become part of something bigger than us all. Sign up for a class today at your local American Red Cross chapter or visit redcross.org for more information.
Before past the hour, good morning. It's Mark Maron here with Mark Riley.
Good morning.
On Morning Sedition, this is Air America Radio. How do you like that? Thank you, Ramon. And yeah, go ahead and take that bag of green peppers. Yeah, the green peppers. Ramon just left with a bag of green peppers. What's that about?
Hey.
That's weird.
It'll be about a fight in the lobby.
I guess we got to win.
We can't just sit up and laugh like this.
Hey, Jonathan,
people aren't going to know what anybody's talking about.
Jonathan, bring this bag of green peppers.
Now he does. Marin geese your green peppers, man. That's what. But you didn't ask him if he saw them. You asked us. We didn't know.
This is Jonathan's, Clutch Larson's snack is green peppers, and he's grown to rely on him, and he left him in here, and of course, me, the infant. I'm like, I'm going to hide Jonathan's green peppers and wait to see how long it takes him to start festering. And then, that's the joke.
How long did it take, Mark?
It took 35 minutes.
Okay.
Which isn't bad. That's pretty good. Here's the presidential palm pilot for today. Here's the president's schedule. 7:30 a.m. Wake up. Stay on message. A political candidate who jumps to conclusions without knowing the facts is not a person you want as commander-in-chief. Note, this refers to Kerry. It would be just like him to swing this back at me. 9:10 a.m. Speak at rally, Saginaw, Michigan. Note, I don't even know what I'm saying anymore. Have someone videotape speech to make sure it's still English. 11:55 a.m. Speak at rally, Dayton, Ohio. Note, I will keep coming to Ohio until they break. Somebody tell them to break already. 2:50 p.m. Speak at rally, Westlake, Ohio. Note, I read somewhere Hawaii is a swing state now. Schedule stop there tomorrow. This Ohio thing is going to kill me. 6:35 p.m. Speak at Rally Broad Meadows Farm, Yardley, Pennsylvania. Note, I'm at a farm. I'm speaking at a farm. 5 more days, no more farms. 9:05 p.m. back in Washington. Note, this isn't any better than the farm. 9:30 p.m. Watch video of last night's lunar eclipse. Deny any involvement. 10 p.m. bedtime. Boston wins. Boston wins. Oh, dear Jesus. I'm doomed. That's pretty good. Maybe I... Yeah.
Man, Maron, I'm very nervous.
And what
I'm
are you nervous
very,
about?
I'm very, very nervous.
What?
I'm nervous about the revelations by a guy named Mickey Hershkowitz.
These are old revelations.
These are revelations that go back to 1999, but there's an underpinning to these revelations that is truly, truly frightening.
Mickey Hershkowitz was a ghostwriter.
The original ghostwriter of George W. Bush's autobiography. Spoke with him numbers of times, at least 20 times. Over a period, began working in May 1999. He had submitted 10 chapters within 2 months, and there were 4 to 6 chapters that were still on his computer. He had the book yanked away from him and apparently given to, ka-ching, Karen Hughes.
Ka-ching, that woman, just, they took it away from him because he wasn't painting the right propaganda portrait of their beloved, idiot man-child.
And you know what's scary about that?
What?
He wasn't painting that picture, but he was using direct quotes from the subject.
Well, we know how that works. It's happening. It happens all the time. Like, something will come out of his mouth, and then 30 people will be like, well, what he meant to say? It's like, you shouldn't, and then they'll just twist it around and let it dissipate.
Hey, I'm an idiot. Oh, wait a minute. But he didn't really mean to say he was.
And then they tried to slander Hershkowitz, apparently. He got a call, some secret call from within the White House that said, watch your back.
Tried
to insinuate that he had bad writing habits, that he had bad habits that interfered with his writing, none of which are true. He's been a friend of the Bush family for years. He wrote a authorized biography of Prescott Bush. I mean, this is not a nobody. And he also, among some of the stuff that he revealed in these notes that he remembers, they asked him to confiscate or shred his notes. But being that he's a writer, he's got a pretty, darn good memory. And he says that in 2003, Bush's father indicated to him that he disagreed with his son's invasion of Iraq, and that Bush admitted that he failed to fulfill his Vietnam-era domestic National Guard service obligation, but claimed that he had been excused. Hershkowitz says that Bush was in Alabama and never reported for duty because he was quote unquote excused, entitled, spoiled. I'm adding these, taken care of.
Now, the Guerrilla News Network, which actually talked to Mickey Hershkowitz.
Our guys, they come out.
Yeah, they come out all the time with us. Well, the big bomb that they dropped here was that George W. Bush was talking in 1999, a full year before he ran for president, about invading Iraq. This is what Mickey Hershkowitz said to the Guerrilla News Network.
Lay it down.
Quote, it was on his mind. He said to me, quote, one of the keys to being seen as a great leader is to be seen as a commander-in-chief. And he said, quote, my father had all this political capital built up when he drove the Iraqis out of Kuwait and he wasted it. If I had a chance to invade, if I had that much capital, I'm not going to waste it. I'm going to get everything passed that I want to get passed, and I'm going to have a successful presidency. Now, that's an unquote. Now, that's an amazing statement. First of all, it bears out the notion that he has been in through all this time in direct competition with his father's legacy. I mean, that is pretty clear from what he's saying there. But he also said that at one point in 1999, early 2000, that, yes, he would have invaded Iraq. In 1999, 6 months after he talked with Hershkowitz, Bush surprised veteran political chroniclers, including the Boston Globe's David Nyan, and his blunt pronouncements about Saddam at a 6-way New Hampshire primary event got little notice. Quote, it was a gaffe-free evening for the rookie frontrunner till he was asked about Saddam's weapon stashes, according to David Nyan of the Boston Globe. I'd take them out, Bush grinned cavalierly. Take out the weapons of mass destruction. I'm surprised he's still there.
Except for the Al-Qaqa weapons of, potential detonators for weapons of mass destruction. Back then he didn't realize just what a task it would be, which was interesting to me in reading this piece, Mark Riley.
Yeah.
Because according to Hershkowitz, George W. Bush's beliefs on Iraq were based in part on a notion dating back to the Reagan White House.
Yes.
Ascribed in part to now Vice President Dick Cheney, chairman of the House Republican Policy Committee, under Reagan at the time. Quote, start a small war, pick a country where there is justification you can jump on, go ahead and invade, end quote. And this is even more disturbing. Bush's circle of pre-election advisors had a fixation on the political capital that the British Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher collected from the Falklands War. Herskowitz, quote, he says, quote, they were just absolutely blown away, just enthralled by the scenes of the troops coming back, of the boats, people throwing flowers at Thatcher, and her getting these standing ovations in Parliament and making these magnificent speeches. Magnificent speeches. End
that's
quote.
The scary part.
Well, that's this little group of, you know, of sort of, you know, festering, you know, Jewish intellectuals, you know, who, you know, have this grand idea about, you know, how the world should operate and how they can take the world unilaterally and by force and sort of consolidate power among this action, around this action, and just the tremendous, you know, lack of strategy or even foresight to see what could happen.
That's what happens when you adopt the concept of endless war. Now, the scary thing to me about that, Mark, is that the one party, political party, that in fact had a doctrine of endless war was the fascists.
Right.
That was their concept.
Right.
The idea that the country's greatest glory is achieved through the use of warfare, through conquering, through beating people.
Right.
Now, if you take that and apply it to this scenario, yeah, it becomes truly scary. These are people who have no problem sending American kids off to die as long as they think it's necessary for political gain.
Well, that's the interesting thing is like this, you know, it transcends anything that we make assumptions about for what the reasons are, oil, money, giving it up in this weird sort of, you know, global free market experiment, this, this free market utopia that if it comes right down to him, you know, several years ago saying, I'm just going to go in and pick it because, it's going to make me look strong.
Yep.
Then it's even more frightening. You know, but I like to add all the other stuff. You know what I mean? I like to add that, you know, Wolfowitz and Pearl and these cats,
oh, yeah,
you know,
yeah,
had this vision because then it seems, you know, well-rounded evil. But if they went in just because that guy said, you know, it's going to make me look good, then mm-hmm, that's really creepy.
Mm-hmm.
And how this is playing on the campaign trail and what, you know, what's going on exactly with this argument about these arms and Al-Qaqan and how, you know, Kerry and Cheney are fighting over it and how the president's responding to it is all stuff we're going to talk to our guest after this about. John Nichols from The Nation is going to join us from the phone from Wisconsin to flesh this stuff out. It's 43 past the hour. You're listening to Air America Radio.
Attention, single Air America listeners. I'm here with Brush Lintball.
This is the old Brusho, Brush Lintball,
to tell you about DemocraticMatch.com. You're listening to Air America because you're intelligent, progressive, and like the thousands of members at DemocraticMatch.com, you don't drink right-wing Kool-Aid. Right, Brush?
Right-wing wackos are fine to laugh at on all their radio programs, but no one wants to date one, right?
DemocraticMatch.com is a dating site made specifically for Air America listeners and other progressive individuals who want to date those with similar worldviews. What do you say, Brush?
Democrats are smarter. Democrats are more evolved. Democrats are more fun. Democrats make better lovers. Democrats have better hearts.
This is your chance to actually meet the other people who listen to Air America, people who cherish the principles of our democracy, believe in a woman's right to choose, believe in protecting our incredible planet. DemocraticMatch.com is completely free for a limited time, so what have you got to lose? Sign up today at DemocraticMatch.com.
In 1994, director David O. Russell made Three Kings, a groundbreaking film about the first Gulf War. In 2004, Russell made A Soldier's Pay, an eye-opening documentary about the current war in Iraq. Studios and distributors were afraid to release it, and no one had the guts to get it out to the public. Until now. This Monday, IFC, the independent film channel, presents the world premiere of A Soldier's Pay, the documentary that the powers that be didn't want you to see. This Monday, starting at 8 p.m., it's an election eve marathon on IFC, the world premiere of David O. Russell's controversial new film, A Soldier's Pay, and The War Room, the classic documentary about Bill Clinton's 1992 campaign. A Soldier's Pay and The War Room, uninterrupted and commercial-free all night, this Monday, starting at 8 p.m., only on IFC, the independent film channel. Don't have IFC? Go to ifctv.com and get it.
On Sirius, we strive to bring you the best that the sports world has to offer.
Warm beer, high-priced tickets, and stale popcorn?
I don't think so.
Now on Saturdays, It's College Football Day, beginning with the kickoff show at 5 a.m. Sirius College Coaches Show at 9. A doubleheader of exciting game day action. And then we finish it with the ultimate post-game show, The Wrap-Up, hosted by Jerry Recco. From dawn to dusk, Saturday is College Sports Radio Day on Sirius Sports Action 123.
How are you at hellos and goodbyes? I'm Mark Merrill with today's Family Minute. The way we greet our spouse and the way we tell them goodbye can really set the tone for the whole day or evening. So try to practice these three steps to a great hi and bye. One, make eye contact so they'll feel like they have your attention. Next, include some physical affection, a kiss or a hug. And finally, keep your words pleasant. It's not the time for complaints or controversy. Make your hellos and goodbyes meaningful. Remember, your family first.
The Family Minute with Mark Merrill is a production of Family First. To find out about ways you can build a stronger family, go to familyminute.net. That's familyminute.net or call 1-800-956-8300. That's 1-800-956-8300.
And we're back. Bob from Scranton, you're on the air.
Hi, Ted. Love the show. Long-time listener. First-time caller.
Thanks, Bob. Is there a special someone out there you'd like to talk about?
There is, Ted. I recently lost a very big part of my life.
You'd been together a long time?
Since college. This is for my belly, my paunch, my spare tire. I know we had some good times. God knows I'll never forget that night in Albuquerque with the burritos.
It's never easy to lose something that's been such a huge part of you, Bob. Where'd the magic go?
Well, I'd recently begun taking the stairs more and more instead of the elevator, and then we started seeing less and less of each other. One day, it was just gone.
Small step number 67. Take the stairs instead of the elevator or escalator. It's just one of the many small steps you can take to help you become a healthier, well, you. Get started at www.smallstep.gov and take a small step to get healthy.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Tomorrow, leave home without it. Just once or even twice a week, leave your car parked and get around another way. Try taking mass transit, carpooling, walking, or biking. Not only will you save a lot of money and aggravation, you'll also help to reduce traffic congestion and pollution. So keep it up, because it all adds up to cleaner air. Sponsored by the U.S. Department of Transportation and the EPA.
What's going on? It's 49 past the hour. I'm Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley there.
Good morning.
You're listening to Morning Sedition on Air America Radio. I'm crashing from the brownies. I'm having a brownie crash. I made some hardcore brownies.
They were wonderful.
I put too much butter in them. I said, I think these are going to be a little too chocolatey with too much butter. And Bashman goes, how is that a problem?
Yeah, right.
How is that ever a criticism? Hey, I'll be at Cobb's this weekend for the Stand Up For Your Rights Part 2 with Will Durst, Kevin Rooney, and David Feldman, and Jim Short. www.cobbscomedyclub.com in San Francisco for information and tickets if you'd like to be involved with that craziness. Right now, our guest is a regular guest on our show. We enjoy talking to him. He was with us at the Republican National Convention.
Yes, he was.
He talked to us about Dick Cheney. He's always fun to talk to because he's got a sort of swing to the way he addresses things.
That's right.
He's a Washington correspondent for The Nation. Please welcome John Nichols to the show.
Hey, John.
What's up, buddy?
I'm out here in Wisconsin.
Are you awake, buddy?
I've got my eyes shut. But
well, you know, we're on in Madison. We're on 92.1 in Madison.
You guys are so hot. I got to tell you, this is really pathetic.
Yeah.
Because you haven't had time to get billboards up yet.
Right.
I'm driving down a street in a suburb of Madison called Maple Bluff.
Yeah.
And somebody has put like a yard sign in their front yard, about 3 feet by 5 feet.
Yeah.
Handwritten, it says, listen to 92.1, the truth, with a big exclamation mark.
Wow, people are doing their own billboards.
I'm not kidding.
That's great, man. So what's the feeling up there? Is there as many undecideds as they say? Do you feel, what's the momentum?
I think there's like four undecided. Okay.
What are people concerned about up there? What are the big issues for
in
Wisconsin?
The truth of the matter is the war is the big thing.
Uh-huh.
And you can talk about everything else. Certainly, Wisconsin lost jobs at a rate second only to Ohio.
Right.
So the last 4 years have not exactly been the gravy train. But the war dominates, and I think it dominates for a couple of reasons. You know, this is still pretty rural country up here.
Sure.
A couple of big cities, but mostly rural.
Uh-huh.
And when the farm's going down and the factory's shut, you join the National Guard to make a buck.
Sure.
And so we got a ton of our young men and women sitting over in the desert in Iraq.
Yeah, without sitting in the desert in Iraq too long without being replaced. Or,
well, the moms are sending them batteries for their night gear, you know.
Whoa.
Mm. I mean, we literally have stories about moms going to Walmart to get batteries to send to their kids.
To help, oh my God, so they're that poorly equipped. We've heard some stories, but I had no idea. You actually talked to a few moms, huh?
Oh, yeah, no question. Senator Feingold talked about how the moms going, like, ordering body armor online from, like, Canadian companies.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
And that's still going on, John?
Without a doubt.
That is mind-blowing to me that they still are unable to equip our troops properly.
No, this is a serious issue. And so the end result is that we've got this weird dichotomy where, you know, there's certainly, a really heavy-duty support the troops thing.
Yes.
Especially in rural Wisconsin. But there's also a very heavy-duty, what the heck's going on over there?
Sure. With this new weapons cache disappearing and them trying to pretend like that, you know, they didn't know about it. And
very hot issue here. Very much discussed.
And how
very
is it being discussed?
Today, and you will hear him talk about that a lot.
Uh-huh.
Does that raise questions about Bush's confidence among some of these folks, the folks that are, in fact, supporting the troops, John?
Yeah, without a doubt. In fact, this is the interesting dynamic here. I mean, I think it's one of the things that national media tends to miss a lot. They tend to think people fall into these hardcore camps and they can't possibly be moved.
Yeah.
And there certainly are. The people who go to rallies, that's true. But the real folks, the ones who go to work every day, right, don't have time to go to a rally.
Right.
They are movable. And one of the things we saw that's been fascinating is that, you know, in late September, before the debate started,
mm-hmm.
Bush had opened up a very substantial lead. Some polls showed him 10, 12 points ahead. Now, it looks like Kerry's 1 or 2 points ahead.
Wow.
So instead of having just, you know, like a 1 point shift here, 1 point shift there, we've seen in Wisconsin something like a 14-point shift.
14 points?
Yeah, up toward Kerry.
That's and, you know, and the truth of the matter is Kerry is really stepping up. He's showing up. He's clear. He's taking the president head on.
He's getting better.
He's absolutely getting better. Now he's got Springsteen with him, so there's just no stopping this machine.
You know that this is what's going on today. I was down yesterday looking at the rally site.
Yeah.
They are getting prepared for, they think, maybe 70,000 people.
Wow. Is Kerry, do you know, going to sit in on base at all? Or?
Yeah, I think Kerry's actually, you see, what's going to happen is, you know, Springsteen's going to come up to the mic.
Yeah.
And Kerry elbows him and says, "I'm sorry, brother, I'm the boss."
Oh, is that true?
No, and then I think at that point these paper cups start flying. But the bottom line is Springsteen coming is a huge deal. I talked, you know, when I heard the word that Springsteen was going to hit the road for Kerry.
Yeah.
The first thing I did was I called friends of mine who don't care about politics.
Yeah.
And I said, "Hey, Springsteen's coming for Kerry." And their immediate response was, "I'm changing my plans."
Oh, really? They're going to come down to, so I just hope that we don't get into that situation where Kerry's speaking and they got to start going, "Bruce! Bruce!"
There'll be a little of that. Don't doubt it. But the bottom line is this, and this is the important thing to understand.
Uh-huh.
Springsteen is not a rock star. Springsteen is a cultural icon.
Yeah.
The fact that he is going to go out and do events in key battleground states for Kerry, first time in his entire career that he's actually stood by a presidential candidate.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to matter. It will have meaning with the kind of guys who get in trucks and, you know, go and drive off to a construction site.
We talk to those guys all the time. We talk to truckers a lot here on the show. And, you know, these are, you know, it's interesting about truckers is these are guys that have a lot of time to think things through
and
listen
to radio.
Yeah, listen to the conversations going on.
John, how important is the surge we heard about in voter registration in places like Wisconsin, places like Minnesota, places like Iowa, to the eventual outcome of this race?
It's huge. It's huge. I mean, understand this. Most people don't think of the upper Midwest as having black people.
Uh-huh. Oh, no, there's a few.
I know, but the theory is there's all those white folks, white farmers up there. The fact of the matter is, in Milwaukee, we've got a huge black population. In Minneapolis, there's a huge black population. In Des Moines, there's a very substantial black population. And in a lot of these smaller cities, you know, which are factory towns where folks came up from the South in the 30s and 40s. So this mobilization has dramatically increased registration. You combine that with the fact that we've got this is a land-grant college state. You've got big college towns all over. And the registrations on the campuses are huge. I think that is what has really kind of shifted the pattern here.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't think the polls have caught that.
Right.
They can't, because a lot of these people, you know, poor folks who don't have phones, students who are on cell phones. So what we're going to see on Election Day, my prediction is, and I'm not trying to be overly optimistic here, but my prediction is you're going to see a 3 to 4%, you know, kind of frosting on the cake for Kerry. It will be, in my view, a substantially better result than expected, because there's just a lot of people who have registered to vote who I expect are going to be pulled to the polls. It looks like the mobilization efforts on the ground are very strong. And that's just going to be, you know, folks that nobody was counting on. Remember who's going to change this election result.
It's going to be exciting.
It'll be the people nobody listens to.
It's going to be exciting. John Nichols, thanks for waking up, and also have a great time at the concert.
Appreciate it, John.
Take care, brothers.
Take care, man.
I love the way he says brothers.
Brothers. Hey, you know, he says the same thing I say.
What?
That the turnout is going to be the difference and that Kerry's going to win going away.
Yeah. Yeah, I know you say that.
I've been on board.
I've been experiencing tremendous amounts of fear lately. Not that Kerry's going to lose, just fear of the regular frightening stuff.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. I mean, there's a lot to be frightened about. But I'm scared I'm going to have to kiss somebody's butt in Macy's window if I'm wrong. That's what I'm scared of.
Wow, in Macy's window? I'm not even sure where that little saying comes from.
That's an old New York saying. If something happens, I'll kiss your butt in Macy's window.
Okay, well, I'm going to add that to my repertoire. Here's the liberal agenda. One, condemn man who tried to run down Catherine Harris, but praised his initiative. Two, offer to drive still drunk Red Sox fans to the polls next Tuesday. Three, as an alternative to scarce flu vaccine, drive through poor neighborhoods giving out the number of your aromatherapist. Four, call Arafat. Give him the number of your aromatherapist. Five, today's phrase is dropping into conversation. The blacks in Florida should get to vote twice, man. Once for this year and once for 2000, man. That's what I say.
I'm down.
All right, man.
In the next hour of Morning Sedition, we're going to Massachusetts, Marin.
All right.
We're going to be talking to Massachusetts Congressman Barney Frank.
Good.
About the election and maybe a little about the Sox. And also, Sox. Ambassador Joseph Wilson joins us on Kerry's foreign policy offensive as we continue here on Air America Radio.
Here's an important food safety rule to keep in mind. It takes thorough cooking to kill harmful bacteria. Check your food for doneness, especially meat and poultry, with a food thermometer. Because food safety is important. Don't take chances. Cooking food thoroughly is a simple way to keep you and your family healthy. Brought to you by the Partnership for Food Safety Education.
I'd like to tell you about an attacker. My friend was hit by a stroke. His left side got weak and he was helpless. Thankfully, someone called 911. So if it ever happens to you or someone around you, call 911. This is Will Downing, friend of a stroke survivor. Strokes attack African Americans more often. Find out why. Call 1-888-4-STROKE or visit www.strokeassociation.org. Time lost is brain lost. A public service message brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
Compromise off, serious on. Uncompromised music and entertainment.
Uncompromised music and entertainment.
Serious. It's on.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. If there's any doubt out there over whether George W. Bush had preconceived notions about war in Iraq prior to 9/11, the words of ghostwriter for Bush gives a chilling account about a man who was willing to trade innocent American lives for political gain. Author and journalist Mickey Herskowitz, who was once hired by Bush, says the president was already talking about going into Iraq long before becoming president. Herskowitz says Bush had war in Iraq on his mind in 1999. Journalist quotes Bush as saying, one of the keys to being a great leader is to be seen as a commander-in-chief. Bush told Herskowitz that his father had all the political capital and clout built up when he drove the Iraqis out of Kuwait, and he wasted it. Bush told Herskowitz that if he had a chance to invade, if he had that much capital, he would not waste it at all. Bush painted the picture that his mindset on war was the hallmark of a successful presidency. It's taken 48 hours, but President Bush has finally given reaction to the missing explosive story, the so-called October surprise. Bush yesterday brought up the issue in a campaign stop, accusing John Kerry of jumping to conclusions about the disappearance based on the newspaper account. Bush merely repeated what Dick Cheney said the day before, that those weapons may have been removed before the war, but if Bush maintains that stance, it calls into question U.S. military evidence that they discovered looters taking as many weapons as they could carry from the facility 15 days after the war started. John Kerry continued to hit Bush yesterday under controversy, calling on the president to explain his alleged negligence.
This is a growing scandal. And the American people deserve a full and honest explanation of how it happened and what the president is going to do about it.
John Kerry in the campaign trail yesterday. There's been a substantial increase in the number of airstrikes and other military moves pointing to an imminent showdown between U.S. forces and Sunni Muslim insurgents west of the capital of Baghdad. The impending major U.S. offensive could well determine whether the campaign to bring democracy and stability to the nation can actually succeed. American officials have not confirmed a major assault is near against the insurgent bastions of Fallujah and neighboring Ramadi, but Iraqi Prime Minister Iyad Alawi has warned Fallujah leaders that force will be used if they do not hand over extremists, including mastermind Abu Musab al-Zarqawi. Israel has agreed to let Yasser Arafat seek medical treatment abroad if he wants to. Palestinian leader is seriously ill at his compound in the West Bank. It's not clear exactly what's wrong with him, but he vomited while eating some soup last night and later passed out. Still other reports say he's near death. Israel's Prime Minister Sharon confirmed the offer this morning in a phone conversation with the post-Palestinian Prime Minister. It's the first time they've talked in several months. You're listening to Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman.
It was 1979, Pittsburgh. I was 14. Me and Dad used to grill hot dogs in the backyard and listen to the ball game on the radio. This one particular night in October, it was just me and Mom's. You see, Pop played for the Pirates, and he was about to hit the longest home run I'd ever seen. Bringing them back from a 3-1 deficit and winning the last World Series of the decade. I'll never forget that moment, and this year, I'm going to share that with my kid.
The World Series is on ESPN Radio, Sirius 120.
Hello, everybody. I'm Tony Cantillo, your fresh grocer. Now, with all this cold weather around the country, vitamin C, they say, is good for us, and I believe it is. Now, vitamin C, of course, in oranges, 110% we need for the day is good. But what about red bell peppers? 330% of the vitamin C we need for the day on one serving of red bell peppers. That you can't beat. When you buy these red bell peppers, what you want to do is make sure they're bright red. There's two varieties out there, the regular shaped ones and the regular red bell peppers. Now, these have a thicker wall to them. The elongated ones, the La Rouge variety, have a thinner wall, which is great for sautéing and great for salads. But either way, they have to be nice and red, and a bright red. The stems have to be nice and green, and make sure they're free from any shriveling whatsoever. And when you bring them home, store them in the refrigerator ASAP. And I'm Tony Cantillo, your fresh grocer, and that is your tip for the day.
Hello, I'm Tony Cantillo. You know, sometimes information on nutrition and health can seem overwhelming. That's why there's the Dole Nutrition News. Twice a month, this electronic newsletter will bring you the very latest in diet and nutrition research, plus recipes, fitness tips, and natural beauty ideas. Best of all, it's absolutely free. How do you get all this information? Simply just go to www.dolenutrition.com. To sign up, it's free, it's easy, and it's loaded with news that you can use to lose weight and look great. Again, that's www.dolenutrition.com.
I heard about this company dumping toxins in local rivers, and I called their executives to say stop, but I never got through to anyone except secretary after secretary. In the meantime, the rivers are being destroyed, birds and fish are dying, and the local kids are getting sick with cancer. So I organized a huge protest, and we actually got the company shut down. And everyone starts celebrating until we realize that half the town's now unemployed. The welfare offices can barely handle the overload. People are being kicked out of their homes. And to top it all off, the rivers are still contaminated. The birds and fish are still dying. And most of the kids with cancer are twice as sick because they can't get the health care they need since their parents lost the health insurance they had when they worked for the company that dumped all the toxins in the first place.
Saving the world isn't easy, but saving a life is.
and just one pint of blood can save up to 3 lives. Visit bloodsaves.com to learn more. This public service announcement was brought to you by the Ad Council.
Mark Maron, you're listening to Air America Radio at 6 past the hour, and this is Morning Sedition.
Good morning, geniuses, philosopher kings and queens, people who dropped the name Chomsky a lot. Chomsky. What about that Chomsky? Well, Chomsky defines terror. I want to say hi to all those people that buy books that make them feel smart and then never read them. You're my kind of folks. You know how many books I got on my bookshelf with a bookmark 20 pages in, heavily underlined?
Chomsky, wasn't he like a DJ with one of the hip-hop
groups? Played for the Sox.
Oh, played for the Sox. No. Okay. Left fielder. No, yeah. Chomsky. Okay.
Extreme left fielder.
Yes.
Now, of course, you got to read the Chomsky. You got to listen to the Chomsky. It's very compelling stuff and important as well.
Yes.
But not necessarily practical all the time. We've got to take action, folks. And if you're having trouble with your votes, if you feel like your votes aren't being counted, or you feel like there's shenanigans going on in your voting place, please call 1-866-OUR-VOTE to get some legal action done on your behalf to confirm your registration. And we're closing in here, folks. And also to confirm your polling place, go to Common Cause at 866-MY-VOTE, the number 1. And also, if you're overseas, it's getting a little tight for this, but...
Yeah.
www.fvap.gov. If you're having trouble, I got my absentee ballot in. Of course, there are those 58,000 people in Broward County who
Have any ballots somebody lost them.
That's so crazy. Don't these? You know, there's been some extreme political action being taken in different parts of Florida. We had a Lake Worth man who actually held his girlfriend hostage and threatened to kill her because she was going to leave him and vote for Kerry. And then we got a guy who says he was exercising his political expression when he veered off the road
and tried to run down
over Catherine Harris. You know, sometimes you're driving and you take your eye off the road and onto the person that you hate and ruin the planet.
Now, Catherine Harris, for those of you who don't know, is the former Secretary of State of the state of Florida, the woman who was... Many feel responsible for the debacle of the election there, who failed upward and now is a member of Congress, for God's sake.
Unbelievable. I love this. I intimidated them with my car, he said.
Hey, want to run for Congress, pal?
Definitely, yeah. That would be hilarious, like Bernard Getz said he could run against her in the, you know, when he gets out of jail.
Barry Seltzer, registered Democrat.
No duh.
Yeah, there goes his ballot.
Here we go. We've been doing this every day. I guess we're up to like somewhere in the, 70, 80? How many we got, PW? PW and Donald in the booth. What do we got? He's going to tell me in my head. This is 90. We're doing the 10 reasons Bush must go every day. They're on the website. We encourage you, go to the website, cut and paste them, email them around, send them to your friends. A lot of liberals, progressives, Democrats don't know how to argue with their simple-minded friends. Well, just send them this list. Here we go. Number one for today. On Iraq, he told the American people, quote, "We found the weapons of mass destruction. We have found biological laboratories," unquote, when nothing has been found.
Number two, on foreign relations, he limited bidding on Iraq construction projects to coalition partners only, unnecessarily alienating important allies.
Number three, on the 9/11 commission, he would not allow Condoleezza Rice to testify, then relented after public pressure.
Number four, on foreign relations, he abandoned the United States' traditional role as a fair moderator in the Middle East peace process.
Number five, on the environment, he lifted protection for more than 200 million acres of public land.
Number six, on post-9/11 cleanup, he forced the EPA to rewrite a report on the air quality around the World Trade Center site to fool New Yorkers into thinking the area was safe.
Number seven, on public health, he weakened the effectiveness of the USDA testing program while downplaying the dangers of mad cow disease.
Number eight, on supporting our armed services, he underfunded health care for troops and veterans.
Number
where are we? Number nine.
Number
nine on healthcare picked his personal friend David Halbert, who stands to make billions from prescription drugs, to write the draft of the new Medicare bill.
And number 10 on education, he underfunded the Title I program for disadvantaged children by $7.2 billion. This guy did all this?
Unbelievable.
I ain't voting for him.
Again, that's all at morningsedition.com. All the reasons. Send them to your friends. Build an argument. We're going to build more of an argument because our guest after the break is Congressman Barney Frank, who's been out on the road for Kerry, and he's, I'm sure, going to give us some more reasons. So stay with us. It's 11 past the hour, Air America Radio.
The secret of the Hollywood stars is out. Lose up to 5 pounds in one day with the Hollywood 24-hour miracle diet. Craig raves about it.
The next day I weighed myself, and I lost 3 pounds just overnight, and I lost 2 more pounds. It melted it away quick. I've been training for a year or so, and I just had that really stubborn love handle area, you know? It's been impossible. It's gone now.
The Hollywood 24-hour miracle diet did more than that for Craig.
I got a great detox out of it, too. And that was my favorite part of it, was that it actually did cleanse out my body. My face stopped breaking out, and my skin tone improved. I actually did get a compliment.
Craig won't just put anything in his body.
I'm a health nut by nature. I did research this diet on the internet and just look at some of the ingredients. And if you think about all the benefits you're getting out of it, it's an incredible diet.
Look great. Feel fabulous. Lose up to 5 pounds tomorrow with the Hollywood 24-Hour Miracle Diet for only $9.99. Change your life. Call now and get the only diet under $10. Call 1-800-NEW-DIET. 1-800-NEW-DIET. Get the only one-day diet. Log on to purplediet.com.
What's that number?
1-800-NEW-DIET.
Hi, this is Al Franken. You know, when I want to relax, there's nothing I like more than a really scary horror film. But with the presidential election only days away, I am so busy following current events that I just haven't had any time to take in a slasher picture. That's why I'm so excited that the terrifying film Bush's Brain is now available on video. Bush's Brain will help you truly understand what's happening inside the White House. It will introduce you to the Svengali puppet master, who is really behind the dirt and deception in the campaign. Find out who is Bush's brain. Call 1-800-750-4856 or go to www.airamericaradio.com. That's 1-800-750-4856 or www.airamericaradio.com. Buy Bush's brain today. Remember, Halloween is just around the corner.
Hi, it's Lynn Samuels. Ooh, it's that scary time of year. All the pranksters are out throwing eggs, playing tricks on each other. I get chills even thinking about it. No, I'm not talking about Halloween. I'm talking about the Republicans! And the chance that scary George W. Bush can get back in office.
Election night coverage featuring Lynn Samuels from her living room on Sirius Left 143.
Are you an out-of-control parent? I'm Mark Merrill with today's Family Minute. As a child, I can remember my dad letting me sit on his lap and steer our old station wagon on a long, deserted road. But he was always clearly in control. It was in the old days before we wore seatbelts. Well, during the early childhood years, a parent should be in control of their child, deciding when the child will sleep, what they will eat, and what they will wear. But as their child grows towards adolescence, we need to steer away from being an in-control parent to being one that is out of control, letting go of the wheel, but still giving directions from the passenger seat. Remember, your family first.
The Family Minute with Mark Merrill is a production of Family First. To find some great resources for strengthening your family, go to FamilyMinute.net. That's FamilyMinute.net or call 1-800-956-8300. That's 1-800-956-8300.
What's up with the sink?
Somebody left it on. It's been running all day.
Really?
Yeah, I've been in here, what, 3 times since this morning? Still going.
Okay, that is so not cool.
What's not cool?
Look at the faucet.
Oh,
how long has it been like this?
At least since this morning. What do you guys think? Someone just washed their hands, left it on, and then, like, walked off?
Yeah, I guess.
That's so weird.
How do you just leave on a faucet?
It's kind of bizarre.
Should we do something?
We should tell somebody.
We can't even know.
We
can't
even know.
We can know that they
might have someone. You guys weren't using this, were you? Not us. Nope.
No.
Don't just take a stand. Act. The most powerful ways to register and vote. It's ridiculously simple. Log on to registerandvote2004.org and take action. A public service announcement brought to you by the Ag Council.
Research shows that the highest achieving students attend schools with good library media centers. It's easy to see why. School library media centers across the country have been helping teachers bring lessons to life. With computers, videos, books, and more for years. The Campaign for America's Libraries reminds you that school library media specialists help students develop the information searching skills they need to succeed throughout their lives.
All systems ready.
Cool. Lifelong learning begins at your library.
Past the hour. I'm Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley.
Hi.
You're listening to Air America Radio. This is Morning Sedition. I go to the therapist today, thank God, because I'm crumbling. I'm having some sort of weird, impotent dream, it seems, but not in the standard way. I'm at a high school gym, waiting on a huge line to vote. Suddenly the lights dim, spotlight comes on, a voice says, and now please give a big Monroe County High School welcome to Mark Maron. No one claps. Tough gym. I pick up a mic and step into the spotlight. Hello, is this thing on? Oh, no. I'm a bad comic, and I'm tanking. So, how's everybody doing out there? Having a good wait? By the way, thanks for not peeing. You can't have democracy with sticky floors, okay? Save your disgusting habits for the voting booth, huh? Nothing, huh? So I was just up in Canada. They got a funny way of doing things up there. Get this. They count the votes, and the guy who has more wins. I know, crazy, right? Must be the cold. Hey, any first-time voters out there? You are? Well, who are you going to vote for, sweetheart? Huh, undecided. Really? God, what do you like in bed? Oral, anal, gee, I don't know, honey. You choose. Oh, my God, I suck. Any Bush supporters out here? Oh, there you are, sir. I didn't see the armband at first. Just a blank expression. There you go. Hey, watch it. Hey, check that out. Looks like you spent your tax cut on some new jackboots. Very nice. Well, if he's voting, that means none of you aren't. Hey, how about Kerry? Wow, good turnout. Be honest. How many of you Kerry voters claimed to be for Dean 10 months ago just to get laid, huh? Huh? Come on. Hello, is this on? Hello. Okay, I'm with you, buddy. I like a screamer, too. Hey, there you go. Anybody for Nader? Show of hands. You are? Let me just feel your forehead. I was afraid of that. Go home, man, before you get everyone else online sick. You understand? Sick woman right here, folks. Very sick. You know, I love the voting booth. You close the curtain, it's just you and your conscience and John Ashcroft and the guy from Diebold. Yeah, very crowded in there. There's almost too many people in there to masturbate. You know what I'm saying? Almost. Hey, hello? Is this on? Hello? Great. Hey, wouldn't it be hilarious if you stood here for 3 hours and tomorrow somebody actually hit the delete key? Well, not hilarious in a funny way, but hilarious in there go our rights and freedoms kind of way, huh? Hey, I heard that, buddy. I heard that. So I suck, huh? Really? And I say, hey, buddy, listen, I don't come downtown while you're working and knock the out of your mouth. You understand? All right? Finally, a laugh. There you go, huh? I woke up and my bed was filled with ibuprofen and my resume. Man, that was brutal. Did you hear me? Did you hear how horrible it is?
A nightmare.
It's a total nightmare. Well, hopefully everything will turn around now, because we got Barney Frank from the 4th District of Massachusetts, the congressman, the legend. Good morning, Barney Frank.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's nice to have you on. We just got this story about this dude, Marty Herskowitz, who was the first ghostwriter of Mickey Herskowitz, the first ghostwriter of Bush's biography. And he says that in 1999, George W. Bush had his eyes on Iraq almost specifically for political reasons. He basically said it. What do you think of that?
Oh, I've always been convinced that they came to office intending to invade Iraq. I hadn't seen it as a political thing, although obviously they were aware of the political advantages. I think it was also this philosophy of Rumsfeld and Cheney and et cetera, that they wanted a country to invade to show how tough America could be. And that's why I think, you know, in the Dulfer Report, which points out how weakened Iraq was, makes the point. They didn't invade Iraq because it was the strongest country threatening us. Exactly the opposite is the case. They invaded Iraq because it was the weakest, because it was a target of opportunity.
Right.
If you made up a list of countries that might potentially do harm to values that we had a right to care about outside of their own country, Iran, North Korea, some others, you know, Zimbabwe would be one of my favorites, and Burma. But invading Iraq was just easier. It was easier, they thought, politically, although they messed that up so much that it didn't turn out to be. and it was easier militarily. So I am I've always believed that that 9/11 obviously was an excuse that they always had plans to invade Iraq from before they came to office.
Congressman Frank, you're a member of the Select Committee on Homeland Security, and it seems as though the security issue, the war on terror issue, is still an Achilles heel for Senator Kerry. What are you saying to people? You're out on the stump with him. You're out urging people to vote for him. What are you saying to him?
Two things. Mm-hmm. First of all, George Bush gets some unearned credit for this. Whoever was president on September 11th was going to get credit for responding. Remember, the war in Afghanistan, which I believe was a legitimate effort to make America safer by going after the thugs who were sheltering super thug Osama bin Laden.
Yeah.
That was virtually unanimous. Every Democrat but one, hundreds of Democrats voted for that. So what? And in terms of trying to toughen up things domestically, I mean, I've never understood why, frankly, either Mayor Giuliani or President Bush got political credit for doing what anybody would have done. But I guess, you know, it's partly, you got to use a baseball analogy. If it's the last and the ninth and the score is tied and the bases are loaded and you get up, you get to be the hero. Even though there might have been a better hitter, two or three people down the line, like you get to be there if the ball hits you in the butt.
Sure.
You know, you brought in the run. I think that's part of it. Bush just happened to be there, and he did what everybody wanted. I mean, we know that if you are the president and something terrible happens to the country and you are able to lead the response, you get some benefits. The second thing I say is that, in fact, the Bush philosophy of tax cut, tax cut, tax cut, particularly for the wealthiest businesses and for the owners of capital, undermines us on Homeland Security. I mean, Homeland Security, the Bush people on the one hand keep talking about how terrible government is and how it's always a good thing to reduce government and it's the people's money and not the government's money. But, in fact, there are needs that we have as people that can only be met through collective action, i.e. government, and Homeland Security is at the top of the list. So there are fewer cops and fewer firefighters, less communications interoperability among the departments. We're expecting less cargo than we would under John Kerry. Now, it's, you know, it doesn't hit the emotional point as easily, but the point is that it is Bush's reduction of the revenues of the government that has interfered with our ability to increase the level of Homeland Security.
And also, isn't the money being divvied up proportionately per state in a sort of an unfair way?
There is some of that. It is excessively, you know, it's kind of like the Electoral College.
Right.
It rewards small states just for existing, I guess. You know, it's like we owe Wyoming and Montana and Utah a debt because they keep California from bumping into Minnesota.
And what about some of the money that's gone into Homeland Security? I hear that that's sort of tied up in being, you know, divvied up into poor spending.
Well, there's been some problems there, but there's always going to be some slowdown. I mean, what's interesting, of course, is when we try to spend money to alleviate poverty or provide jobs for people who don't have them or provide housing in the sense of housing shortages, if there is any problem, if it's not 100% efficient, they decide that's the reason to kill the whole program. In fact, when Homeland Security money is there, we see the same kind of problems. There's certain inherent problems here. And what's relevant here, I think, is their double standard. I mean, if money for housing had encountered the same kind of problems that money for Homeland Security had, they say, oh, that's a reason not even to try. But I do think the fundamental issue is it just isn't enough money. I mean, we have local police departments cutting back on police officers. We're not doing cargo security, and we haven't put federal money in any significant degree into helping local public safety people be in better communication with each other, which turned out to be one of the problems in New York where the cops and the firefighters couldn't talk to each other. Now, the cargo security, inspecting cargo, getting better communications among law enforcement groups, everybody admits we should be doing those, and the official Bush explanation is, well, we can't do more because we don't have enough money. But we don't have enough money because he's given away tax cuts to people who are getting incomes of hundreds of thousands of dollars and more.
And we just talked to John Nichols from The Nation, who said that some mothers of troops in Iraq having to send batteries over to put in their kids' flashlights into their night vision goggles. Some of them are ordering flak vests off the Internet to supply their kids. So all this money, that these tax cuts, how come Americans don't seem to realize that paying taxes and giving the government enough money to fight properly is patriotic?
Well, we're trying to bring that back. It is a little bit frustrating. I mean, no president has ever decided that we're going to have two wars. Presidents have tried to avoid having unnecessary wars right after a necessary one. But to have two wars and five tax cuts, obviously, it makes no sense. And, of course, part of the problem here is that, look, George Bush from the beginning thought that we would invade Iraq. I think that quote from Herskowitz is right. But also thought it would be like going to a birthday party.
Sure.
I mean, they knew there would be some killing.
Sure.
And, you know, one of the things, he says, well, the problem was It's rather bizarre. We won too easily. It was a catastrophic victory. That is, he's very upset at the pro-Saddam Hussein people. They didn't stand and fight. Well, in fact, we won too easily, partly because, contrary to the outrageous distortions of Bush and Cheney in 2000, they inherited from Bill Clinton a superb military machine.
Yeah.
The military they inherited, which was so strong, is why we won so easily in the conventional parts in Afghanistan and Iraq. But they totally misunderstood what was going to happen after. As a matter of fact, they continue to do that. George Bush, you know the story of the boy who cried wolf?
Sure.
George Bush is the opposite. I mean, the boy who cried wolf is the one who kept saying, oh, something terrible is going to happen, something terrible is going to happen, and nothing terrible ever happened until when it did happen, he was in trouble. George Bush is the reverse. Every time he makes a pronouncement, he tells us everything's going to be wonderful. First he said, we're going to invade Iraq, and they're going to love us, and we don't need many troops. I mean, that's partly why the troops don't have the equipment that you're mentioning. They never accepted the fact that it was going to take so much. Then they said, oh, well, don't worry. We'll catch Saddam Hussein. And once we catch Saddam Hussein, he's the problem. It'll get better. We captured Saddam Hussein. It didn't get any better.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then he said, let me turn things over to the Iraqis, and they'll make it better. And we've seen what a disaster that's been. So they said, instead of the boy who cried wolf, he's the boy who cries nice doggy. And every time he says nice doggy, America gets bitten in the butt.
And yeah, and he just puts wolves on his TV ads.
Yeah, right.
Yes, right. In Iraq, he has consistently misread the situation, and that's one of the reasons that the American troops have been put in such a difficult situation. He has sent them over there without adequate numbers or adequate equipment to do this very difficult job that he didn't think was going to be difficult.
Right.
All right. Final two-part quick question. Congressman, how has it been? You've been down in Florida campaigning for John Kerry. How has it gone? And number two, you used a baseball analogy earlier in our conversation. Are you a big Sox fan?
Well, sure, you can't not be here in Boston. This has been such a great thing. But as far as Florida is concerned, I don't draw on that too much. To be honest, I think people tend to like sports, and they may like politics, but I think politics invading their athletic activity. I mean, the only major political figure in Massachusetts who I'm aware of when he goes to a sporting event isn't booed is our state auditor, Joe DiNucci, because Joe was a middleweight champ of New England. So I think there's a... You know, I think the separation of politics and sports ought to go right after the separation of church and state, although that's growing in this administration. As far as Florida's concerned, the Democrats are doing a great job, but I tell you, I was sad after I left Florida on Saturday when I spent time in Fort Lauderdale. You know, Election Day has generally been a celebratory time in America. You know, you've done your best. You're just trying to get out your own vote, and you're feeling good. People are approaching Election Day in Florida and elsewhere, Ohio, in a kind of battle mode. I mean, it reminds me, frankly, of the days when women had to be escorted into abortion clinics because they were taunting mobs and people
right.
threatening them. I mean, we're going to have people being escorted to vote. It's disgraceful. And it's because the Republicans are so angry that the Democrats have finally gotten to where we are mobilizing potential voters who haven't previously voted.
Yeah, we got to go.
They're trying to put obstacles in their way.
Right. Well, yeah, I mean, we're going to report on that for the rest of the afternoon here. So thank you so much for joining us, Congressman Frank. It's always good to talk to you.
Appreciate it.
Thanks.
Yeah.
When we come back, they outed his wife, but they didn't shut his mouth. Ambassador Joe Wilson joined us, and we've got Rapture Watch on tap as we continue here on Air America Radio.
We're going to fight, we're going to charge, we're going to start, we're going to march through the swamp, we're going to march through the mark.
Hi, this is Al Franken, the host of the Al Franken Show on Air America Radio. For the last 6 months, we've been doing 3 hours a day of cutting-edge radio programming. We've had guests like Bill Clinton, John Kerry, and Strom Thurmond.
Yeah, Pekka, it knows no bigotry.
We've covered events like the handover of power in Iraq. We've explained difficult concepts like the growing national debt using nothing more than an ordinary slide whistle. Now we're presenting our show in a convenient, easy-to-use, one-hour version every night on Sundance Channel. Finally, you'll be able to see what we're talking about. Right, Strom?
Yes, sir.
Tune in every night at 11:30 on Sundance Channel for the Al Franken Show. If you don't get Sundance Channel, go to their website, sundancechannel.com. Al and Sundance Channel. Together again.
Take a ghoulish ride with the ghosts of Halloween past. Each night this week on Sirius Radio Classics, horror shows from the Fright Masters, Bela Lugosi, Boris Karloff, Vincent Price,
And on Halloween Eve, it's Orson Welles' War of the Worlds. The classic War of the Worlds, Sunday at 5 p.m. Eastern. Plus the Masters of Horror each weeknight on a special Fright Fest. All this week on Sirius Radio Classics 133.
Hey, this is Dave Ramsey, and this is your Daily Money Makeover. Randy had a car repoed 5 years ago, and now they want their money. My advice, after this.
Federal college loan rates are now at their lowest levels in history. So if you currently have high-interest student loans, it's time to refinance. Just call 1-800-2-COLLEGE. With one call, you could be on your way to saving thousands. That's 1-800-2-COLLEGE.
Randy needs help dealing with a collector.
I got a call this afternoon for an old truck that I had repoed, and $2,200 was the difference.
Mm-hmm.
This is about 5 years ago, and the guy says he can settle that for $1,200. Mm-hmm. He faxed me the settlement agreement, and because I only have $1,000 in my account right now, he can post-date it.
Nope, not going to post-date anything. Not writing any hot checks. Life's too short. Call him back, tell him you got $1,000.
All righty.
If he wants it today, he can have $1,000. If he wants to wait, we'll talk about it later. And do not allow them electronic access to your checking account under any circumstances. Because they lie. They'll clean out your account.
Alrighty.
That's what'll happen. So don't do that. But call him back and just say, I can do $1,000 now, or we can wait after the first of the month, and then we'll talk about it. Your choice. And you know what? They're going to take $1,000. And don't send it to them unless you have it in writing.
This has been your Daily Money Makeover with best-selling author and America's most trusted source for financial straight talk, Dave Ramsey.
Speak out on Sirius.
Get serious about your vote.
Yeah, this is Tom in Missouri. The Bush administration has botched everything they've gotten their hands on, and they have got to go on November 2nd. Vote for John Kerry for president.
Hello, I'm Kerry Dembowski. I'm from Ohio. I'm voting for Mr. Bush. President Bush has done a fine job for it. I'm a truck driver, and many of other truck drivers like myself are voting for Mr. Bush.
This is Ron from New Jersey, and this November 2nd, I'll be voting for John Kerry. George Bush must go. Anybody that sits there for 7 minutes after they've been told that our nation is under attack is not a good leader.
This is Tracy from Indianapolis, Indiana. I'm a retired U.S. Navy veteran, so I encourage all the veterans to get out and vote for George W. Bush.
Tell us why this presidential election is important to you.
Call 1-877-33-SIRIUS and press 4.
To speak out on Sirius.
Want to influence a child's life? Wear your seatbelt. Research shows that when a driver doesn't wear a seatbelt, 70% of the time the children in that car don't either. And an unbuckled child is in danger. Traffic crashes are the leading cause of death for children. Help us stop unbuckled adults from endangering children's lives. There's just too much to lose. This has been a public service announcement brought to you by Buckle Up America.
This is Steve Irwin reminding that your vote does make a difference.
And it's going to affect you for the next 4 years. I'm Jane Monty. Register to vote.
In this particular election, it's going to affect the lives of your children and their children for years and years to come.
Please be vocal. Speak out. Say something. Do something. Register to vote.
What's up, this shifty? Make your vote count.
If you don't vote, someone else is going to decide your future.
The future's in your hands.
Apathy isn't sexy. This is Jennifer Mark. Register to vote.
Get serious about voting.
Past the hour, Mark Maron, that's Mark Riley.
Good morning.
You're listening to Morning Sedition on Air America Radio. We're having a morning. We have a lot of guests. We just spoke to Barney Frank. I'm sorry I cut him off a little bit at the end, but we come up against a hard break, Riley, and I felt a little bad.
Yeah.
But yeah,
we got everything.
A lot of good stuff out of him. You know, it's always good to talk to Barney Frank. We got Joe Wilson coming up in a minute. I will be at Cobb's Comedy Club this weekend on a big cavalcade of political comedy. That's www.cobbscomedyclub.com in San Francisco. Two shows tomorrow night, two shows Saturday. It's going to be a good time. And right now, it's time to look at the Presidential Daily Briefing, that highly classified, top-secret document that crosses George W. Bush's desk every morning. Today's PDB from the intelligence community is entitled, Never a Warrior, Always a Warmonger.
Mr. President, it's come to our attention that you are already planning to invade Iraq even before you became president, just to raise your popularity. Apparently, you confided to your ghostwriter in 1999 that being a war president would make you look like a great commander-in-chief. And then you could strong-arm Congress to pass anything you wanted. This revelation is a clear and present danger to your presidency. Your plan to invade Iraq was also a clear and present danger to your presidency. Frankly, your entire presidency has been a clear and present danger to your presidency. On the plus side, at least this story explains a lot. When you first geared up to invade Iraq, your reasons for it kept changing. One minute you'd say Saddam was mixed up with terrorists. Next you'd say it was to find weapons of mass destruction. Both were total crap. But now, at least we have the real reason. You wanted people to like you. This, at least, is one thing we can believe. And you got a war in Afghanistan, It was manageable, and you had allies, and nobody much blamed you for it. But apparently, you have such a deep-seated Oedipal issues that you had to drag us into a second war without allies, and everyone blamed you for it. Oh, my God. This is a way too screwed up. I can't even read it. So maybe you should work this out on your own time because we're still endorsing Kerry, you deeply sick little man, respectably, Office of Homeland Security.
Woo.
Man,
there you go.
What happened there? Got locked down on the way that sentence was put together. Jeez, man. I got
a little frustrated.
I feel like I'm about to snap. But I'm not, because we're going into some very informative stuff. I like talking to Ambassador Joseph Wilson. He's a very good guest. He's always a good conversationalist. And he's joining us on the phone from Washington. Good morning, Ambassador Wilson.
Good morning. That was quite the PDB you were reading there.
I think you've got a little tangled up, you know. They keep coming in, and you never hear them, so what the hell difference does it make?
So I think that's quite an article. I think, what was it, in The Guardian this morning?
Yeah, the one about Mickey Herskowitz?
Yeah.
That was very telling, wasn't it?
Well, I think so. I think that explains a lot, the fact that he was really interested in having a war even before he became president. I'm not exactly sure that a desire to go to war is the best characteristic we look for in our commanders-in-chief.
And just
speaking, it is, you want to do everything you can to make the country safe without losing those most precious assets of ours, the soldiers, sailors, airmen, and Marines.
Yeah, it's amazing to me that, you know, he is completely without, you know, empathy and completely unable to identify with the soldiers. And even before, you know, he never thought about casualties, as Pat Robertson was quoted last week, that he just has no clue, and all he cares about is political future.
Well, that certainly seems to be the case. And certainly the way this campaign is playing out, it seems to me that he will say anything, make any accusation possible. He and his staff lie repeatedly. They certainly lied about me for several months.
Yeah, let's talk about this weapons cache, if you can, because, I mean, you certainly know the terrain over there. They seem to be sort of doing that thing they do, which is sort of make it confusing and hope it dissipates. But clearly those weapons were there, weren't they?
Well, sure they were. And what they're really trying to do is confuse the issue so that people won't really understand. But very clearly, the weapons were there. Very clearly, the U.S. military did not secure the weapons depot on the way to Baghdad. And the reason is also equally clear. There were not enough troops to do everything that the commander-in-chief asked them to do. And so in setting priorities, they left securing the weapons depots as a low priority. And it wasn't just there. It was also the nuclear site of Soweto, which basically tells people that weapons of mass destruction really wasn't what they were worried about, was not the justification for going to the war after all.
Our guest is Ambassador Joseph Wilson. He is the author of the book, The Politics of Truth, Inside the Lies That Led to War and Betrayed My Wife's CIA Identity. It is available on our website, airamericaradio.com, and it's available at a discount. Ambassador, when we talk about some of the revelations from Mickey Herskowitz, he clearly implies that there are people around George W. Bush, if not the president himself, who seem to believe in the idea of endless warfare or warfare as a political tool. Does that frighten you as much as it frightens me?
Well, there's no reason for him to imply it. It's very openly stated in the Project for the New American Century.
Right.
That's what underpins their whole theory about how we secure our national security for the next 75 years.
That's a neoconservative manifesto that came out in 95, right?
That's right. It pretends to be a reasoned analysis of how we secure our future. And in fact, now that it has met the reality of the ground, it should be seen for what it is, a set of ideological assertions that have pretensions of policy recommendations.
Well, let's talk about what needs to be done, you know, in reality terms. You know, what can Kerry do and what will he do and what needs to be done to quell the insurgency and stabilize Iraq?
Well, I say this as an American more than as a partisan, but
okay.
The first thing that needs to be done is Mr. Bush needs to be defeated at the polls next Tuesday.
Yes.
He needs to be defeated because in order for the United States to begin to restore its credibility as an international leader, we need new leadership at home. And you cannot be an international leader without a follower. So we need to be able to have people who will actually go out and elicit the support of followers.
And you've been a diplomat, you know, a good part of your life. You've traveled and you've obviously been an ambassador. And what is your sense of what is the true pulse of the rest of the world in relation to this presidency?
Well, the polling that's come back from around the world suggests in some countries, Mr. Bush polls below the statistical margin of error. But it is safe to say that there will be widespread celebrations throughout the world if this administration is defeated. Most of the rest of the world has seen imperial armies run roughshod over their countries at some point in their history. They know what they're looking at.
Mm-hmm.
And what they're looking at is the dogs of war unchained in the United States. And with respect to Afghanistan, it was a legitimate counterattack. With respect to Iraq, there is no legitimacy that underpins what we've done in Iraq. And that doesn't mean that you give the rest of the world a veto in whether or not you go to war for your own national security interests. But it does mean, as the framers of our Constitution, Declaration of Independence, said, that you hold the opinions of others in some esteem and some respect, and you take them into consideration. You need legitimacy if you're going to pursue these policies.
And if, let's say, the worst thing happens, which is that Bush gets in for another 4 years, how will his relationship with the international community reflect on Americans, you know, just here at home?
Well, I think my own sense is that this election is at least as much a referendum on us as a society as it is on Mr. Bush as a president.
Mm-hmm.
If he's reelected, I think most of the rest of the world will determine and decide that this is, in fact, an accurate reflection of the direction in which American society wishes to go, and that will be a very frightening prospect to them. And they will make adjustments accordingly to try and contain us, and that will not be militarily, because nobody's going to spend the money to try and defeat us militarily, but I think you can assume that they will change business and trading relationships to our disadvantage.
And it'll be generally uncomfortable to travel to some countries.
Well, I think you're already seeing the criticism of the government is beginning to spill over into dislike of Americans, which is a shame because, of course, our greatest asset or what we represented in terms of liberty, freedom, respect for law, respect for the rights of the individual. And all that is being lost. All those instruments of soft power and international leadership that held us in such good stead for the last 50 years have been lost as a consequence of this debacle in Iraq.
Ambassador, there is, and it's strange because every time we talk to you, it's still ongoing, that independent investigation into who leaked your wife's name to Robert Novak, the syndicated columnist. I doubt seriously we find this out before Tuesday. Will we ever find out?
Oh, I think we'll find out. But we should understand that there is no pressing reason for us to find out before Tuesday. There are many, many other reasons to vote against President Bush and this administration, aside from the fact that they have somebody in the administration committed treason in the compromising of an intelligence asset who happened to be my wife. But there are other substantive reasons to not support this administration.
Oh, yeah.
I do believe that the prosecutor, who is dogged and who is as serious as anybody I know, will get to the bottom of this in his own due time. I think he's following a prosecutorial and investigatory timeline. That said, the fact that he hasn't gotten to the bottom of it yet is a clear indication that the White House is stonewalling.
Right.
They're just obstructing justice.
Well, thank you so much for joining us, Ambassador Wilson. We're going to plug your book here. It's always great to talk to you.
Appreciate it, Ambassador.
You guys.
All right, take care. Thank you very much. Joe Wilson's book is available on our website. It's called The Politics of Truth. You can get it on our website at a discount, among with many other books that we talk about. And he said there's plenty of reasons to not vote George Bush in. Obviously, we've been listing 10 a day here for the last 9 days. We're up to 90 today. We'll do that again at the top of the hour. Right now, we'd like to hear from you, 866-303-2270. Give us a report from the field. Let us know what's on your mind. Let us know if there's anything we can address for you. If it's within our power, we will do so. It's 45 past the hour, Air America Radio.
Give us a call at 866-303-2270, or you can check us out at morningsedition.com.
45 million Americans are uninsured, and those with insurance continue to face skyrocketing costs and less coverage. Stop being deprived of the coverage you need and get the advantage, MedAdvantage. MedAdvantage has been lowering healthcare costs for the insured and uninsured since 1995. Don't let rising prescription and healthcare costs take advantage of you. Get MedAdvantage instead. You can save hundreds of dollars per year with this simple and easy-to-use program. Membership is just $99 per year and will cover your entire family. There are no forms to fill out and no waiting for reimbursement. Call MedAdvantage at 888-595-4217 and start saving now. Membership is available to everyone regardless of age or medical condition. In fact, we're so confident you'll be pleased with the MedAdvantage program, we're offering a full 100% money-back guarantee. Call MedAdvantage at 888-595-4217 and start saving now. Once again, call 888-595-4217. MedAdvantage, reducing the personal cost of health care.
MedAdvantage is not an insurance plan.
Dear citizens, I teach conflict resolution. Robert Lane, Yale Professor Emeritus of Political Science, says he has always been impressed by my skill and wisdom in interpersonal relations. Here's my message. We must vote to gamble less and not more with global catastrophe. As Bush roundly denies his mistakes, his lies invalidate his leadership, and as character for peace is betrayed by his stubbornness, courageous soldiers are trapped and sacrificed in inadequately conceived efforts to address the roots of terrorism. As a counselor, I encounter outrageous deception, handicapped insights, self-serving willfulness, arrogance, and misguided perceptions. And now I see those attributes linked like a chain to the unprincipled leadership of our nation. Vote for change. Refuse to be indifferent to a disaster. This is Gola Wolf Richards at Motto Citizens, MOTTOCitizens.com.
Coming down to the wire, we're just days away from completing our quest for a better America. Join us for live extended coverage on election night with the team from Sirius Left 143, Air America Radio 144, and Sirius LQ 149. All the election returns, correspondents from around the country, and your phone calls all night long. It's your election coverage your way.
Is your child included in your activities? I'm Mark Merrill with today's Family Minute. In our world today, it seems like we often segregate children from our daily living. We separate the kids from the adults at events we attend, in sports we play, at church, and at work. If we really want our children to learn from us, then it is absolutely necessary that they see us in our regular routine. We need to keep them joined at the hip. Let's teach our children life's lessons by including them when we do housework, yard work, run errands, and even at work when possible. Remember, your family first.
The Family Minute with Mark Merrill is a production of Family First. To find out about ways you can build a stronger family, go to FamilyMinute.net. That's FamilyMinute.net. Or call 1-800-956-8300. That's 1-800-956-8300.
All right, you 4 years old son, ready for the big leagues. Put your padding on, buddy. There you go, helmet.
Silly head.
Okay, that's right, your thigh guards. Now don't forget your mouth guard. You don't want to be losing teeth in your first game. Well, they're baby teeth, but yeah, put it in it.
Daddy.
Don't let them worry you. They may be over 200 pounds and kind of mean looking, but you're ready for them. Just run through them. Here's the ball. Run!
Daddy?
Don't look at me. Run with it. Go, boy. Run!
But I could get hurt.
No pain, no gain. Now run! Come on.
You wouldn't treat your child like an adult. So why put them in adult seat belts? If they're under 4'9", they need a booster seat.
Ah, you should have straight-armed them.
For more information, go to boosterseat.gov. This message brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Department of Transportation.
We're all hearing a lot about youth violence these days. But you know what? Crime and violence among teens is actually going down. The secret to keeping it down is to help our kids learn about things like self-respect and empathy and how to solve conflicts without resorting to violence. Teach your children how to steer clear of violence. Who knows? You might just save a life. A message from Big Brothers Big Sisters of America, the Boys and Girls Clubs of America, and the Center for the Prevention of School Violence.
The hour. It's Mark Maron here with Mark Riley on Morning Sedition. Hey, Fletch Larson, get someone to help us out. Go get those brownies that are downstairs, will you?
Yeah.
Kalo needs a brownie. Someone needs to get him. Why don't you get him and look at him as you walk up and just think about your green peppers that you got in your pocket. But I'll tell you, man, I mean, Fletch Larson, man, like dropped like 13, 14 pounds, man. He's looking good. He's looking svelte.
Ow!
I hear his wife likes him again.
Uh-oh.
He's beautiful. No, she doesn't.
No.
All right, here we go. The Bible's book of Revelations portends the end of days and the second coming of the Christian Messiah, one of our president's favorite stories. Though no one knows when the end times will come, there are signs that will appear to men. Here on Morning Sedition, we won't let you be caught off guard by the end of the world. That's why we present this week's Rapture Watch with Cardinal Milvington of the recently disgraced Diocese of Claremont, California. Your Grace.
Hear my proclamation, ye sodomizing blasphemers. Take heed, ye soiled doves of Babylon. Listen, ye petters of serpents, ye lickers of toads, chewers of suet, consumers of krill, and that guy in the apartment below me with the loud cough. It's been 5 months now. Buy a mint. For soon you will find yourself lying in Satan's sock drawer, hanging from the devil's clothespin, and sitting in Beelzebub's waiting room. Midnight rapidly approaches. The end times are near. Prepare to be raptured. And stuff like that! Last hebdomad, I told you about satanic deer breaking store windows in South Dakota. The weekend before that, I spoke of huge turkey vultures invading the suburbs of Muncie, Indiana. Say goodbye to that patio furniture lady, because those droppings are like some mess. And before that, I told you how heroin dealers in Australia get to write off stolen drug money as tax deductions. You hear that, Mom? Thanks for crushing my dream. I could have been legit. You never believed in me. But none of that matters now, because in just 5 days, I'll be jamming up in heaven with Jim Jones and that guy who invented Chiclets. On Election Day, one of three great Satans will be elected head great Satan. The third great Satan really doesn't have a chance. He's just running for an ego trip. The result? Global wars, locusts, hurricanes, and dry, cold weather creating evil static cling in your hair. For it was prophesied in Revelation 25:6-4. And when they had opened the seventh seal, there was a silence in the heaven for about a space of half an hour. Man, you know, that passage sounded a lot more exciting than the first time I read it.
Excuse me, Cardinal?
Mm-hmm.
Radio personality Mark Riley here. Now, if I'm to understand this revelation correctly, the open seal represents an opened ballot, and the silence in heaven represents God's anger towards people for electing false prophets?
Yeah, that's pretty much the way I see it. Man, you're good.
Yeah, excuse me, Cardinal. Radio personality and chronic back pain sufferer Mark Maron here. If the election is going to bring about the end times, how can we save ourselves?
Mark, the only way to save yourself now is to become born again. I mean literally, not figuratively. I recommend doing what I did. Have yourself reinserted into the womb and then yanked out with a bungee cord. Born again.
That's disgusting. That's really disturbing, Your Grace. But, you know, what if you're Jewish?
Out of luck, sucker. Come November 2nd, your world's done. So stick a fork in it, Maron. Until then, keep on fornicating, fornicators, and we'll keep the light on for you. In hell!
All right, thank you, Cardinal. It's always nice to see you.
You're welcome. Next, we have Domad. Are you going to vote?
Yes, sir. Of course I am. I will vote in every Domad that I have to.
You know who I'm voting for?
Who?
Jesus! Seriously, Jesus Hernandez.
Isn't it pronounced Jesus?
Jesus, pal.
Whatever.
Let's go to the phones. Debbie in Boca. How are you, Debbie?
Hey, Debbie.
Hi. Good morning. I can't believe I'm talking to you guys. I'm so excited.
We are, too.
I voted yesterday in Boca Raton. I waited online for 4 hours.
Wow.
Yeah. And I wanted to let you know, I don't know if there's this whole controversy about no paper trail.
Right.
There's a paper trail because the machine behind the screen, it's a pop-up screen that folds into its own table.
Right.
And behind it, there's a cash register tape. And right. When you go through all your screens and you vote for who you want to vote for and you vote for all the amendments and who's going to be sheriff and everything.
Uh-huh.
And it says, please confirm your choices. And then it says, please wait while your answers are being recorded. And then this spool of paper spins for maybe 10 seconds. And then your voter's card pops back out.
Wow, that's interesting. So maybe in some counties they aren't using those Diebold machines that don't have a paper trail.
I don't know what's going on. I didn't see a manufacturer's mark on it, but I don't know if they're trying to convince people that there's no paper. I mean, I really don't know, but there were clearly these cash register tapes behind them that were recording something.
Well, that's good to know. That's good to know.
It's definitely good to know. And Debbie, there are some places where they use the machines that have a paper trail, but there are other counties in Florida where they have been allowed, because a federal judge has ruled, that they could use paperless voting machines.
Right.
So
exactly.
There are some places, and it's good that you're in a place where you can do it. 4 hours in line to vote.
That's but you know what's great?
5 days before the election.
But you know what's great? People are doing it.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
They're saying, look, we knew there was going to be obstacles. We want our votes to be heard. We want it to be recorded. And obviously in her county, they had the paper trail, which is good. Obviously in the other counties where they don't, it could be bad. But there's a lot of problems around that. But we're getting a lot of reports that things aren't as bad as we've been saying in certain respects. Annalisa in New Jersey, how are you?
Hi, Annalisa.
Hi, Mark and Mark.
How you doing?
I'm very excited to talk to you, too. You're my commuting buddies.
Oh, we appreciate it.
Thanks. Yeah, I drive from northern New Jersey every day down to a suburb of Philadelphia. And I have to tell you, there are more carry signs down here in Pennsylvania than you can imagine.
Oh, great.
Oh, great. Excellent.
And a lot of them are prefaced with Republicans for Carrie Edwards.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
oh,
that's honest. Excellent.
That's terrific.
It must be a big group. But, you know, I'm with you guys. I want to believe that, you know, we're going to have the numbers turn out and, you know, we're going to win it. But I'm very afraid of the voting machine situation. I live in a rural county in New Jersey, and I've lived there for 25 years, and we've always voted with paper ballots.
Right.
And I got a call a couple weeks ago from New Jersey Peace Action, which was a part of that lawsuit in Trenton the other day.
Right.
And, you know, the judge, as you know, turned their challenge down to the electronic machine. So for the first time in 25 years, we're going to be voting on these electronic machines. And it seems to me they kind of snuck them in the middle of the night, you know, without people even realizing that this was going to happen.
Right.
And one of the things I find really interesting is my father lives in the same town. He's a registered Republican who is voting for Kerry.
Okay. Oh, great.
Yeah, but... he received in the mail a couple weeks ago when all this started unfolding an application for an absentee ballot.
Yes.
And, you know, me as a registered Democrat didn't receive anything. So, you know, I know there's all these dirty tricks out there and they're trying everything they possibly can, but I think this should be on the front page of every paper.
Yeah.
Everybody should be talking about
We're doing what we can. We got
to
go, Annalisa. Thanks for your call. We're doing everything we can. We'll get some more information after the top of the hour if you sense anything weird's going on.
Well, it's interesting. Annalisa's from Jersey, and we're going to be talking to the junior senator from New Jersey, Frank Lautenberg, in the next hour of Morning's Edition here on Air America Radio.
A pop quiz for parents with third grade teacher, Mr. Bonner.
Today's quiz will test your general knowledge. 1. Name one Hollywood director. 2. Name one actor from a TV sitcom. Number 3. Name one comedian. 4. Name one game show host. 5. Name one professional athlete. Number 6, name one reality TV show. And one more question worth 100 points. Name one teacher you've met visiting your kid's school.
Know what really matters. Know about your kid's school. And know about your kid. Find out 100 ways to know more, do more. Visit PTA.org or call 800-307-4PTA. A message from the Ad Council and the National PTA.
Then,
I am the Edison Photograph. To delight those who would have melody on.
Now, Sirius Satellite Fresh. It's on.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman, a ghostwriter for George W. Bush. Long before the attacks on 9/11 and around the time of his first campaign for the presidency, has revealed that Bush planned war in Iraq in a bid for political gain, if given an opportunity to run the country. Bush told author, journalist, and one-time ghostwriter Mickey Herskowitz that one of the keys to being seen as a great leader is to be seen as commander-in-chief. Bush said his father had all the political capital built up when he drove the Iraqis out of Kuwait in the first Gulf War, and then he wasted it. Bush said in 1999 that if given a chance to invade, that he would not waste it. Bush told Herskowitz that he suffered a lifetime frustration as an underachiever in the shadow of his father's accomplishments. Herskowitz says Bush felt that an aggressive military action would be an opportunity to emerge from his father's shadow. Herskowitz's story is a major development with the election just 5 days away. It reveals the thoughts of a man who was willing to trade innocent American lives for political gain. Massachusetts Representative Barney Frank agrees that Herskowitz has an accurate analysis of the character of George W. Bush.
George Bush, from the beginning, thought that we would invade Iraq. I think that quote from Herskowitz is right. They wanted a country to invade to show how tough America could be. And that's why I think they didn't invade Iraq because it was the strongest country threatening us. Exactly the opposite is the case. They invaded Iraq because it was the weakest, because it was a target of opportunity. Invading Iraq was just easier. It was easier, they thought, politically, although they messed that up so much that it didn't turn out to be, and it was easier militarily. So I've always believed that 9/11 obviously was an excuse, that they always had plans to invade Iraq from before they came to office.
Massachusetts Representative Barney Frank on Air America the past hour. John Kerry again, last night with his chief political opponent yesterday, accusing him of dodging, bobbing, and weaving when it comes to explaining the disappearance of close to 400 tons of explosives from Iraq. Bush waited some 48 hours to respond, but finally alluded to the missing explosives in the campaign stop yesterday. Bush was only heard to say that Kerry was making wild charges while not directly addressing the issue. Kerry added that the explosives could very well be in the hands of terrorists right about now. Governor Prime Minister Tony Blair yesterday heard again from the Iraqi-British hostage Margaret Hassan, who is an aid worker of the London-based charity International Care. She's been held captive for well over a week and made a tearful plea to Blair once before to withdraw from Iraq in an effort to save her life. Hassan was seen on Al Jazeera calling on Blair to withdraw and also call for the release of all Iraqi female prisoners. Other comments from Hassan were barely audible. Hassan also asked for Care to withdraw from Iraq. Charity did suspend its work after her kidnapping. A British Foreign Office spokesman says they will consider a response to the latest video, if any. You're listening to Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman.
It was 1979, Pittsburgh. I was 14. Me and Dad used to grill hot dogs in the backyard and listen to the ball game on the radio. This one particular night in October, it was just me and Moms. You see, Pop played for the Pirates, and he was about to hit the longest home run I'd ever seen. Bringing them back from a 3-1 deficit and winning the last World Series of the decade. I'll never forget that moment, and this year, I'm going to share that with my kids.
The World Series is on ESPN Radio Sirius 120.
This is Earth and Sky, speaking with Paul Ehrlich, Stanford professor of population studies, author of the 1960s classic The Population Bomb, and co-author of a new book called One with Nineveh.
Ehrlich believes we're at a time in history when, as he says, we have to re-examine our priorities with respect to the sustainability of human life on Earth. Paul Ehrlich.
We don't have all the answers, but most people don't even know what the questions are, and we badly need, as we recommended in the book, a millennium assessment of human behavior in which the people of the world basically get together and, as they have in the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, begin to discuss how we treat each other and our environment. The biggest problems are, of course, that you're going to be talking a lot about values and ethics. We have a lot of differences among cultures and so on, all sorts of issues on values and ethics, but I think everybody wants to survive and have a livable world for everyone. So our great hope and that of other people who have gotten behind the effort are that the very existence of such a discussion would help solve some of our problems, and where we can't solve them, at least agree on the general directions we ought to be moving and disagree on some of the details of what the best thing to do is.
Ehrlich told us the proposed international panel would relate human behaviors such as lifestyle choices with environmental sustainability.
We have a transcript of our interview with Paul Ehrlich at our website, earthsky.org. We're Block and Bird for Earth and Sky.
Hello?
Hi, Bill? This is George Dewey from up the street.
Oh, hey, George. How you doing?
Good, good. Say, I noticed you've been walking to work these days instead of driving, and I don't quite know how to say this, but...
But what?
But your butt. Your butt. I think I found your butt on my front lawn. Cap, you recently lost it.
As a matter of fact, I have, George. It's about time someone noticed.
Well, it was kind of hard to miss, if you know what I mean. Anyways, would you like it back?
Would I like it back? No, not really.
So it's okay if I throw it out?
Sure, that's fine. Take it easy, George.
Small step number 8. Walk instead of driving whenever you can. It's just one of the many small steps you can take to help you become a healthier, well, you. Get started at www.smallstep.gov and take a small step to get healthy.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Maron, it's 6 past the hour here on Air America Radio, and this is Morning Sedition. Good morning, geniuses, philosopher kings and queens, people who buy books they don't read and still talk about it like they read it. Good morning to you, men, children, women, girls, what, you know, all of you, cat lovers, cat haters. I got several cats. But anyways, hey, look, man, Annalisa called and she was talking about her commute and how we joined her on her commute into Pennsylvania. She's seen a lot of Republican for Kerry signs, Mark Riley.
That's good news, since they took the Kerry Edwards sign off my front lawn. Can I say a special good morning to the young people at in the 7th and 8th grade social studies class at Benjamin Franklin Middle School in Teaneck, New Jersey?
Yes.
I guess I just did.
I think you did.
Yeah, I did. Well, I spoke to them yesterday. I spoke to their assembly yesterday, and it was a great experience. It was really a lot of fun. Had great questions, and our listeners to the broadcast.
Oh, wow. How old are they?
13.
That's great.
Yeah, man. We got the youth.
I'm trying to remember what the hell I was thinking about when I was 13.
I remember what I was thinking about. Ronettes.
I know what I was thinking about. How am I going to learn all this Hebrew in order to get money? How am I gonna sing all these songs in front of people to get money for being Jewish? Hey, look, speaking about Republicans for Kerry, I want to read this. This was forwarded to me by a buddy of mine in the music business, all right?
Uh-huh.
It says, to my Republican friends, I have this rock and roll analogy for you. Let's say that the Republican Party is Van Halen, and for the sake of argument, we will time travel quite a bit. Abraham Lincoln is a David Lee Roth of Republicans, an ass-kicking, slave-free, and minimize the government in our lives badass. The glory years. Then let's say that Sammy Hagar is the Ronald Reagan character. He totally lost a Die Hard, but for some reason, Van Halen had never been more popular. Hit after hit. The Van Halen machine makes more money than anyone thought possible. Next, sadly, it's time to enter that guy from Extreme, Gary Cherone. Here is our G.W. Bush. Even the most dyed-in-the-wool Van Halen fans have to admit this was one bad idea. It didn't work, and thankfully, we only had to put up with it for one record. From this version of the Republican part, I mean Van Halen. Gary made Van Halen so bad that Sammy Hagar returning actually seemed to be a good idea. So there you go. Even Republicans have to admit that GW was totally Gary Cherone the presidency. Has totally Gary Cherone this presidency, don't you think? I thought this would help clear things up for you. Now get out there and buy one of those Republicans for Kerry stickers and help us make this change. Sure, Kerry's no Diamond Dave either, but who is anymore? It's not like Van Halen's going to ask me to sing for him. Vote, please.
You know, that will make a lot of sense to everyone in the music business.
I am going to be appearing at Cobb's Comedy Club Friday and Saturday, tomorrow and Saturday. We're doing 4 big shows. There's also one tonight that I will not be at because I have to be here tomorrow. But it's going to be the Stand Up For Your Rights. It's a big show with me, Will Durst, Kevin Rooney, David Feldman, Jim Short. Might be other couple drop-in guests. It's a great club, www.cobbscomedyclub.com for info and tickets. We're going to have some fun. Now, let's kick out some more of this Mickey Herskowitz stuff.
Mickey Herskowitz, the Bush biographer. Back in 1999, he was engaged to write a biography of then-Texas Governor George W. Bush.
He was the ghostwriter.
He was the ghostwriter of George W. Bush's autobiography. And it's interesting, actually, that in the end times of the electoral campaign, Mickey Herskowitz has come for, oh, sorry. I don't want to anger Cardinal Milford.
Some people think that the end times and the end times of this electoral campaign might be the same thing.
Yeah, right.
So let's make a differentiate between the two.
Yeah, definitely. Well, Mickey Herskowitz says now that George W. Bush was thinking about invading Iraq back in 1999.
Yeah.
It was on his mind. He apparently believed that in order to be seen as a great leader, he had to be seen as a great wartime leader.
A great warrior leader.
A great warrior leader. A lot of both Bush and some of the people around him were profoundly influenced by the reception and the bump in popularity, political popularity, that British Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher got after the Falklands War with Argentina.
Right. This is crazy stuff, because this it just supports this complete lack of empathy for the troops, for what they're going through. And also, like, he doesn't even address it hardly, you know, when he speaks. He doesn't have it. It doesn't seem to be weighing on his heart at all, which is one of the reasons why a lot of Republicans and a lot of Christians that I recently read a piece about, evangelical Christians, there are some that are dissenting from the Bush base because they feel that he is not innately a Christian behaving person, and that, you know, it disturbs him then that his inability to muster up any contrition over the war there. And just the fact that, you know, he was looking at it, at a war, at how it could serve him,
yes,
and his political motives before, you know, before even, you know, you would think that he had an idea to do that, that it wasn't about oil in his mind, that it could have not have been about giving up the country for the free market utopia that the intellectuals that he has, you know, behind him had visualized, but just that it was that self-centered, that personal, that sort of like, I'm going to do it because then no one will be able to argue with my power.
And
that's scary.
It's scary, and it was political / familial. Mark, he believed in his heart that his father had made a mistake in not running Saddam Hussein back in 1991. He thought his father made a political mistake, not a moral mistake. His thing was, had his father run Saddam Hussein at that time when his popularity was at 91%, he would have won re-election easily in 1992. That's the way this guy was saying. And he was determined, according to Mickey Herskowitz, not to make the mistake his father made.
It also means that it wasn't about 9/11. It was something that they had pre-planned years before. And, you know, his argument to the American people was they posed a threat because of weapons of mass destruction and that they were aligned with terrorism, which was both untrue. And they abandoned the Afghani war early and did not get the people that caused 9/11, and we all know this, to go to Iraq. But the fact is that in the Pax Americana that the neocons had put out their manifesto in 95, and George Bush in 99 basically copped to saying that he sort of believed that an invasion of Iraq, then thinking that he could do it like that, just pop in, get out, and get, you know, reap the rewards of being a victor in his mind, would help him politically. And it turned out to be this horrendous quagmire disaster.
It's turned into a quagmire, but I wonder the extent to which the quagmire has actually tempered his thinking about this. He seems to have had this mindset for a long time, Mark Maron, and I'm not sure that anything that's taken place in Iraq has changed his mind. Now, understand, too, that this mindset leaves open all manner of mistakes, of not thinking clearly, a lack of vision, a lack of tactics on the ground, which we see, of course, with all of this, you know, hundreds of thousands of pounds of explosives and munitions that have turned up missing. All of that doesn't matter if, and this is one of the things that Mickey Herskowitz implies here, if your end game, oh God, let me not say that again, if,
okay,
if your goal is endless war, if your goal is endless war for political gain, for your political gain, and for the political gain of Republicans who succeed you.
But you know what? You know, another reason why mistakes don't matter to this guy, and I thought you said end times. That's what I was
thinking. Yeah, okay. Me too.
End game's fine, but for some reason I heard end times. I guess it was because Mort was earlier. But another reason why the mistakes don't matter to him is this is a quote, and this is heavy. Okay, quote, he told me, this is Herskowitz, about Bush, he told me as a leader, you can never admit to a mistake, okay? That was one of the keys to being a leader, end quote. Those are George Bush's words. We're going to talk to Senator Lautenberg after this, and we got a lot more stuff in this hour, so stay with us. It's 15 past the hour, Air America Radio. Check us out at MorningSedition.com. We can blog, email, and waste lots of time at work looking at our links.
Hi, this is Al Franken, the host of the Al Franken Show on Air America Radio. For the last 6 months, we've been doing 3 hours a day of cutting-edge radio programming. We've had guests like Bill Clinton, John Kerry, and Strom Thurmond.
Yeah, Pekka. It knows no bigotry.
We've covered events like the handover of power in Iraq. We've explained difficult concepts like the growing national debt using nothing more than an ordinary slide whistle. Now we're presenting our show in a convenient, easy-to-use, one-hour version every night on Sundance Channel. Finally, you'll be able to see what we're talking about. Right, Strom?
Yes, sir.
Tune in every night at 11:30 on Sundance Channel for the Al Franken Show. And if you don't get Sundance Channel, go to their website, sundancechannel.com. Al and Sundance Channel. Together again.
Hi, this is Al Franken. I care about who's elected president on November 2nd, and it's never been more important who we choose for the future of America. So listen up. Right now, the polls in the Buckeye State show a deadlock, and the fact of the matter is, it's all going to come down to the ground game and who wants it more. You know, Paul Wellstone used to say that the future belongs to those who are passionate and work hard. Well, the future is in your hands, and I'm asking you to be passionate and work hard by contributing your time and money to the Ohio Democratic Party. Go to OhioDems.org. OhioDems.org. That's not hard to remember, is it? OhioDems.org. You know, sometimes we tell ourselves to save money for a rainy day. This is it. This is that rainy day. We can't let these people take this country in the wrong direction for 4 more years. Do yourself, your children, your country a favor. Volunteer or write a check by going to OhioDems.org.
This ad is paid for by the Ohio Democratic Party, Dennis White Chair.
On Sirius, we strive to bring you the best that the sports world has to offer.
Warm beer, high-priced tickets, and stale popcorn?
I don't think so.
Now on Saturdays, it's College Football Day, beginning with the kickoff show at 5 a.m. Sirius College Coaches Show at 9. A doubleheader of exciting game day action. And then we finish it with the ultimate post-game show, The Wrap-Up, hosted by Jerry Recco. From dawn to dusk, Saturday is College Sports Radio Day on Sirius Sports Action 123.
How are you at hellos and goodbyes? I'm Mark Merrill with today's Family Minute. The way we greet our spouse and the way we tell them goodbye can really set the tone for the whole day or evening. So try to practice these three steps to a great hi and bye. 1. Make eye contact so they'll feel like they have your attention. Next, include some physical affection, a kiss or a hug. And finally, keep your words pleasant. It's not the time for complaints or controversy. Make your hellos and goodbyes meaningful. Remember, your family first.
The Family Minute with Mark Merrill is a production of Family First. To find out about ways you can build a stronger family, go to FamilyMinute.net. That's FamilyMinute.net or call 1-800-956-8300. That's 1-800-956-8300.
Attention swimmers!
Dude, what? It's a pair of thunder thighs. Big ones, too. Their mom, who's been swimming a lot with her kids, must have lost them.
Whoa. I heard about this happening once up at Laguna.
Small step number 54. Play with your kids.
It's just one of the many small steps you can take to get healthy. Learn more at www.smallstep.gov.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Listen to someone just like you enjoying the Sirius Satellite Radio experience right now.
Hi, my name is Amber, and I listen to Sirius from Columbia, Missouri. I love the channel options and all that Sirius has to offer. My husband and I got it a few months ago, and we couldn't be happier. So we encourage everyone to tell their friends about Sirius.
Hi, my name is Marita Trena. I'm from Rahway, New Jersey. I tell everyone about Sirius because here in New Jersey we have no country music station, and I love to listen to new country. I love your station. I love my Sirius.
Hi, this is Andrew from Long Island, New York. I just want to let you guys know I love Sirius. Have you on? I drive a taxi and I have you on all the time, 12, 14 hours a day. This is just absolutely wonderful. Thanks for being there.
This is Dominique. I'd like to welcome my friend Chad Bone to the Sirius family.
Get Sirius for your friends at Sirius.com and click on Get Sirius.
Past the hour, Mark Maron here on Morning's Edition with Mark Riley.
Hi!
It's Sarah America Radio. Ramon came by, took seven brownies, ate them one after the other, standing right in front of me, with crumbs falling out of his mouth, handed me the Palm Pilot, showed me the keychain with the piece of his ear on it, and walked out. Here's the president's schedule for today. 7:30 a.m. wake up, stay on message. A political candidate who jumps to conclusions without knowing the facts is not a person you want as commander-in-chief. Note, this refers to Kerry. It would be just like him to swing this back at me. 9:10 a.m., speak at rally, Saginaw, Michigan. Note, I don't even know what I'm saying anymore. Have someone videotape speech to make sure it's still English. 11:55 a.m., speak at rally, Dayton, Ohio. Note, I will keep coming to Ohio until they break. Somebody tell them to break already. 2:50 p.m., speak at rally, Westlake, Ohio. Note, I read somewhere Hawaii is a swing state now. Schedule stop there tomorrow. This Ohio thing is going to kill me. 6:35 p.m., speak at rally, Broad Meadows Farm, Yardley, Pennsylvania. Note, I'm at a farm. I'm speaking at a farm. Five more days, no more farms. 9:05 p.m., back in Washington. Note, this isn't any better than the farm. 9:30 p.m., watch video of last night's lunar eclipse. Deny any involvement. 10 p.m., bedtime. Boston wins. Boston wins. Oh, dear Jesus. I'm doomed. On the phone from Miami, I believe, where he's campaigning for Senator John Kerry, is Senator Frank Lautenberg from New Jersey. Good morning, Senator Lautenberg.
Hi, Mark.
Good morning, Senator.
Hey, Mark.
Were you at the La Ventura event yesterday with Larry David?
I was.
Did you see my mother?
I saw her. She's got white hair.
Oh, blonde hair. Don't I?
Oh, I'm sorry.
My mother's a very sassy woman. She would have come right up to you and said, "My son's on the radio. Do you know him?"
If I tell you how many women told me about what their son is doing. One was a commissioner in Dade County.
Oh, really? Really? I imagine a lot of their sons are from New Jersey. I mean, a lot of people from Jersey go down there.
They are, and frankly, there's so many that it kind of frightens me as to what I might have said, you know. But there were a lot of people there, but I'll tell you something.
Yeah.
Being in Larry David's company is no fun. Because they almost carried him around on their shoulders.
Love him, huh?
Yeah, they really love him. And
there's got to be a few down there. They're going, "Where's Jerry? How come Jerry didn't come?"
No, but they will invariably ask me, "You're from New Jersey? You know Sally Jones?" No, I don't think. Where's she come from? I don't know. New Jersey.
She's a friend of my daughter's. So how's it? How's it panning out down there? How's it?
Well, I think it's going pretty well. Uh-huh. It's hard to measure. The lines for voting are enormous. You know, they're voting now.
We talked
about there are hour waits at these few states,
uh-huh.
Few polling stations.
Uh-huh.
I worked the line. There's a painted line in the cement where people were waiting, and I wasn't allowed to go beyond that. I thought they'd maybe drag me off in cuffs.
Yeah.
But I was able to talk to someone. But it's amazing. when you look at a face very often, you conjure up ideas about how this person is going to vote. And because I was obviously there for John Kerry, you could see the sour expressions when I wound up in the bushes. It was no fun because these people were determined. It seemed both ways. However, there's a lot of interest in getting John Kerry to be the next president of the United States. These folks down here, largely seniors, are concerned about Medicare. They're concerned about Social Security. They're concerned about their children and grandchildren. Bill Clinton was here, and he delivered, as usual, a fantastic speech.
Uh-huh.
And he left the crowd with one thought, and that is, stop thinking about the present. Think only for now about the future, about what happens with your grandchildren, your children. Will they get Social Security? Will they be able to have health care programs? Will they be able to get an education if they have the ability to learn, et cetera, et cetera?
I'm looking at the face of a one Barry M. Seltzer, a Democrat who tried to run down Bev Harris yesterday.
I heard.
Catherine Harris.
Catherine
Harris, that's
yeah.
Some pretty extreme. That's some pretty extreme action, huh?
Yeah, I'd say the.
It's polarized
down
there.
You know, it's really polarized.
Yeah, because yeah, there's another guy that took his girlfriend hostage and he was going to kill her if she voted for Kerry. Unbelievable, Florida.
Oh, I hope nobody will tell her who she voted for.
Senator, how has it gone in trying to talk to specifically Jewish voters about voting for John Kerry? There seemed to be some polling that says that his support among Jews has eroded.
Well, I think that it's fair to say that President Bush kind of hit a sensitive nerve when he supported Sharon when Sharon was in Washington, and he came out with a blanket, okay, I follow, we'll do whatever the prime minister says, and that included settlements. And it just seemed to give people an assurance there that was unrealistic. And I said that to many people. Look, a strong America is essential for a strong Israel.
Right.
And the fact that we do need Israel so much, considering the position they have in the Middle East, and we can't avoid being helpful there. We need them almost as much as they need us, because the madness that surrounds the area with these corrupt tyrants in these countries is not a very comfortable situation for America. We'd have to have more ships and more troops, more airplanes there if Israel wasn't strong.
Mm-hmm.
So this isn't a matter simply a matter of love or affection. This is a matter of necessity, and I could see people listening, paying attention. Every now and then, I get an hour-long debate from one guy, but or another. But it went very well, and people are concerned. And that's part of my mission down here, is to persuade people that John Kerry, who I served with for almost 20 years, and who took up the uniform when it was his turn. And when I think of who's going to lead us in the future, I know this as a veteran. I sure rather be following John Kerry than I would George Bush in the combat or in the woods, Zach.
Right. Sure. Well, you know, Senator Wattenberg, so thank you for joining us. As always, it's great to talk to you. And, you know, and thanks for doing everything you're doing.
We're trying.
Okay, buddy.
Right.
Thanks a lot. 866-303-2270 is our number. You want to pipe in? You want to chime in? I felt bad that I slipped Bev Harris, because she's the wonderful woman who's, like, exposing the Devo machines, instead of Catherine Harris, who's the evil succubus who helped throw the world into chaos. So 866-303-2270 is our number. So give us a call, right, Riley?
Right, and in the words of Barry Seltzer, I intimidated them with my car.
Well, I will talk to you in a second. Want to add your 2 cents? Give us a call at 866-303-2270 and give us your best shot.
This year on election night, America will get some good news, some bad news, and some fake news. Watch Comedy Central's The Daily Show with Jon Stewart for live Indecision 2004 election night coverage.
I'm Jon Stewart. You demand accurate projections, comprehensive updates, and in-depth analysis. You will be disappointed.
The Daily Show with Jon Stewart live Indecision 2004 election night coverage. Next Tuesday at 10, 9 Central on Comedy Central.
Don't forget, it's an hour early. You're going to forget, aren't you?
Sudden ups and downs, breathtaking twists and turns. No, it's not a roller coaster, it's the stock market. But Barron's, America's premier financial weekly, can help you make money whichever way the market moves. Now you can get 13 weeks of Barron's plus the valuable guide to building wealth and 4 weeks of Barron's online, all for only $39. This offer is available to new subscribers in the continental U.S. Call now 800-858-5800. That's 800-858-5800 for Barron's.
Hi, it's Lynn Samuel. Ooh, it's that scary time of year. All the pranksters are out throwing eggs, playing tricks on each other. I get chills even thinking about it. No, I'm not talking about Halloween. I'm talking about the Republicans! And the chance that scary George W. Bush can get back in office.
Election night coverage featuring Lynn Samuels from her living room on Sirius Left 143.
Hi, I'm Bobby Lycos with today's Car Clinic Minute. You're just nodding off when suddenly... Don't you wish you could do something about these pesky car alarms? You can, and I'll tell you what... When we come back. We've all seen the tornado device on TV and wondered if it really worked. I was also skeptical at first until we tested 6 tornado units. And in every case, we got more miles per gallon and felt more power. Gasoline's expensive, so when we find something that saves us money, it just makes sense to get it. Call 800-500-8880 and order your tornado unit today. Or visit tornadoair.com. If the monotonous whoop-whoop of car alarms has you putting in earplugs and pulling out your hair, you're not alone. According to a Columbia University study, almost 95% of all audible car alarms are false. But before you take out your sleep deprivation with a baseball bat, check your city's noise ordinance codes. Many alarms are considered a violation and ticketable offense. So what's the best bet for automotive protection? Alarm alternatives such as pager notification, GPS tracking systems, and electrical immobilizers essentially provide the same protection without all the, pardon the pun, bells and whistles. I'm Bobby Lycos. Like us, you'll love us.
Speak out on Sirius.
Call and tell us how you got a friend to get Sirius.
Hi, this is Mike Jones in Bakersfield, California. I got Sirius about 3 months ago, and I have not put a CD in my CD player since. A lot of my friends that ride with me, they've all listened to the Sirius stations that I've listened to. They love the selection, the playlist. I know two or three of my friends that have jumped over and been debating between the XM and the Sirius brand, and after listening to the stations that I listen to, they've all jumped with the Sirius brand, and I think it's one of the best things that I've invested in, and I want to thank you guys. Thanks a lot.
Hi, this is Joe in Mesa, Arizona, and I've had Sirius for over 2 years. I would like to welcome my neighbors, Brian and Becky, who got Sirius about satellite radio and hooked up with the dog. Welcome to Sirius, Brian and Becky. Thanks a lot.
Get Sirius for your friends at Sirius.com.
And click on Get Sirius.
Son, I want you to listen very carefully. Now, if you're ever at a party and someone asks you if you'd like to shove a stick of dynamite up your rear end, don't do it. Dynamite is very, very dangerous.
Got it, Dad.
It'd be nice if teenagers thought that using the drug ecstasy was as dangerous as, say, sticking dynamite up their rear ends. And that it can cause panic attacks, severe depression, kidney failure, heart failure, seizures, even death. To learn more from the Partnership for a Drug-Free America, visit AskYourKidsAboutE.com.
Studies show that over time, anabolic steroids can indeed take a heavy toll on a person's health. Abuse of oral or injectable steroids is associated with increased risk for severe liver problems, including hepatic cancer. People who share needles or use non-sterile injection techniques can also put themselves at risk for contracting dangerous infections. For more information about the harmful effects of anabolic steroids, please go to drugabuse.gov.
34 past the hour. Mark Maron with Mark Riley.
Hi.
We're doing it. It's been sort of touch and go all morning with us because we're crazy.
Yeah.
Riley got a flat on the way to work. I ate too many brownies and didn't sleep enough. My cats are crazy. And I'm resident Dragon Frozen. Hey, since the handover of power, we're exploring various issues and opportunities the Iraqis and Americans will face. This is Iraq, Birth of a Nation, day 122. Leaders of Iraq. Wait, come on. Yes, okay, settle down. Settle down. So I read where European Muslims are going to help out your insurgents fight against us. Sure, it sounds good, but if you really think they're going to help you, I got two world wars that say they won't. Mm-hmm. We've had a lot more experience with these characters than you have, so believe me when I say Europeans are snotty people. They'll look down at your culture, your clothes, the way you talk. It takes these people three or four forks just to get through a meal. I know it's outrageous. I know it's outrageous, but when it comes to war, they'll be in the middle of a firefight and then stop to argue about the World Cup. They may say their hearts are in it, but on the whole, they don't really have the nads for war. Except the Germans, but that's a whole other topic. Plus, you don't want to get into the habit of owing them or looking to Europe for approval. They'll hold it over your heads forever. They're way worse than we are about that. No, I'm serious. Okay, they're Muslim and all that, but don't be surprised if one of them starts whining in French about not having a bidet. And the fact that you don't have wine over here will drive them right up the wall. So look, I don't blame you for wanting to help. You need it. But remember, when the going gets tough, the Euros get going. So good luck and God bless. This is day 122 of Iraq, Birth of a Nation. Live free or die. What do you got there? Eric, let's take a call. Eric, how are you, Eric? What's going on?
Good morning.
Morning, guys. How you guys doing?
All
pretty
right, good, how you doing?
Pretty good.
Just on my way to work doing another day listening to you guys.
Oh, good, man. So where are you headed? Where do you work?
I'm a physician. I work in the Delray, Boynton, Boca area of South Florida.
Uh-huh. And what's on your mind?
Well, just a couple stories I'd like to share with you. One was basically a couple of our patients. We're on our way to go vote the other day, and we're intercepted at the early voting center by the Republican goon squads.
Really?
Basically told the wrong information, telling these people that they had to walk up two or three flights of stairs, that the building's unair-conditioned, it's a six-hour wait. The reality is it's like an hour and a half to two-hour wait. And just giving them the wrong information, and these people just got back in the van. It was about maybe five or six of them, and they left.
Wow.
And that's how bad it is down here. And
where exactly are you? You're in South Boca?
Well, no, it's like between, just north of Fort Lauderdale, north of Boca.
Wow. So yeah, all the things that we're hearing are true, and it's not clear who they were exactly?
Well, they're definitely Bush supporters. And,
sure.
And,
but we don't know if they were dispatched by the Republican National Committee or they're just doing it on their own. Who knows?
Who knows, but that's the seriousness of how bad things are kind of starting to get down here, and it's just going to gear up. Even Sunday at the Kerry rally, there were probably the Florida Atlantic University Young Republicans Club.
Yeah.
Knowing that there were going to be 10,000 people minimum at this rally, they came out and tried to stir up trouble. And it's just, it's very polarizing. It's fun to watch, but at the other time, it's extremely sad to watch.
How'd they try to stir up trouble exactly? What were they doing? They were outnumbered, obviously.
They were calling us communists.
Oh, that's hilarious. That's the way they can't even come up with something fresh. Hey, Eric, thanks for the reporting. I appreciate it.
Thanks a lot, guys. Keep doing good work.
All right, take care.
So what did we just get hot off the press? Did you wrap your brain around it?
Well, yeah, this is a very deep story. We're getting ready to talk to someone who knows a little bit about it up in Minneapolis. Apparently, Five Eyewitness News in Minnesota had a reporter embedded with the 101st Airborne.
That was the division that stopped by Al-Qaqa.
Al-Qaqa, yeah. And the crew that was embedded with the 101st Airborne may have been on the southern edge of that installation where the ammunition disappeared. They were apparently just south of Al-Qaqa. And on April 18th, 2003, they drove into the Al-Qaqar area. During that trip, members of the 101st Airborne Division showed that news crew bunker after bunker of material labeled explosives.
Whoa.
Yeah, in one bunker, there were boxes marked with the name Al-Qaqar. That's the munitions plant. Let's find out what Dave, our caller in Minneapolis, has to say about
it. Wow, this is heavy. Dave, good morning. What do you know?
Well, basically, I just wanted you guys to know that, you know, this is on the website. We, here in Minneapolis, had reported that was embedded with this group. And the other thing is, it's kind of funny, the guy that owns the TV station also owns the right-wing radio station here in the Twin Cities.
Right.
Incredible.
So, yeah.
Now, they've gone so far as to actually send the pictures of these materials to experts in Washington to find out whether or not these explosives are the same ones that are being discussed among the missing.
And if they were, that would implicate that not the head of the 101st was lying, and that, you know, that these weapons were, you know, not only there but obviously there, and the 101st actually saw them. And it puts into question, maybe even if they weren't there to inspect the area or to watch the explosives, but they knew that they were there, and they're saying that they didn't.
Well, the important thing is that this would establish that the explosives were still there after the war began.
Ah, yeah.
Bush has said all along that the explosives could have disappeared. Can't say for certain, but that the explosives could have disappeared before the United States invaded. This would offer proof that not only that the 101st Airborne knew about them, but that the explosives were there when the 101st rolled through in April 2003 after the invasion.
Wow. So thanks a lot, Dave. Did you have anything you wanted to add to
that?
No,
I just wanted you guys to know that and get that out on the, you know, on the air.
Well, it's certainly appreciate it. Thanks for listening. Wow, that's intense,
that's
man.
Deep.
So this is building up. This is really turning into something. Because, I mean, I was under the impression that, okay, orders were not given from higher to search or to secure the facility or to search for HE-type munitions as they were everywhere in Iraq, he wrote. And this is, who am I quoting here? I am quoting Fred, yeah, Lieutenant Colonel Fred Wellman.
Oh, yeah, from
Deputy
101st.
Deputy Public Affairs Officer for the unit, for the 101st Airborne Division, 2nd Brigade. You know, it's pretty much in my head. It's a done deal. The weapons were there. Whatever's going on between Bush and Cheney, you know, the Pentagon spokesman said it on Monday. You know, it's clear that they're trying to, you know, scramble and confuse people, and whatever information you're drawing from that thinks makes you think that these weapons weren't there when they were there, you know, and after the war, and it wasn't an oversight on behalf of Bush and company, if not intentional, to arm the insurgents in order to prolong the war for as long as it takes to deplete the government of its money here so they can privatize social programs and thus not have a draft, so the disparity between rich and poor becomes so great that, you know, young people will have to join the armed forces just for three square meals a day and a place to sleep. This is, of course, my theory.
Well, you know what? It may not just be your theory. Now, the New York Times has talked to four different Iraqis who say that looters stormed Al-Qaqar in the days after the American troops came through, gutting office buildings, carrying off munitions, and even dismantling heavy machinery. And according to the New York Times, the Iraqis described an orgy of theft so extensive that enterprising residents rented their trucks to looters.
Wow. You know, we're going to come back. I just want to remind people I'll be at Cobbs Friday and Saturday in San Francisco, www.cobbscomedyclub.com, with a bunch of other people on a night of political comedy. We got a story about European Muslims who are now being drawn into Iraq, as we assumed, as Peter Bergen has assumed, as also Mick Ware has sometimes suggested. It could turn into another Afghanistan or Bosnia or Chechnya. We've got more of your calls, so stay on the phone. I want to make this segment long on the other side, so we'll talk to you in a minute. It's 42 past the hour, Air America Radio.
In 1994, director David O. Russell made Three Kings, a groundbreaking film about the first Gulf War. In 2004, Russell made A Soldier's Pay, an eye-opening documentary about the current war in Iraq. Studios and distributors were afraid to release it, and no one had the guts to get it out to the public. Until now. This Monday, IFC, the independent film channel, presents the world premiere of A Soldier's Pay, the documentary that the powers that be didn't want you to see. This Monday, starting at 8 p.m., it's an Election Eve marathon on IFC. The world premiere of David O. Russell's controversial new film, A Soldier's Pay, and The War Room, the classic documentary about Bill Clinton's 1992 campaign. A Soldier's Pay and The War Room, uninterrupted and commercial-free, all night, this Monday, starting at 8 p.m., only on IFC, the independent film channel. Don't have IFC? Go to IFCTV.com and get it.
45 million Americans are uninsured, and those with insurance continue to face skyrocketing costs and less coverage. Stop being deprived of the coverage you need and get the advantage, MedAdvantage. MedAdvantage has been lowering health care costs for the insured and uninsured since 1995. Don't let rising prescription and health care costs take advantage of you. Get MedAdvantage instead. You can save hundreds of dollars per year with this simple and easy-to-use program. Membership is just $99 per year and will cover your entire family. There are no forms to fill out and no waiting for reimbursement. Call MedAdvantage at 888-595-4217 and start saving now. Membership is available to everyone regardless of age or medical condition. In fact, we're so confident you'll be pleased with the MedAdvantage program, we're offering a full 100% money-back guarantee. Call MedAdvantage at 888-595-4217 and start saving now. Once again, call 888-595-4217. MedAdvantage, reducing the personal cost of health care.
MedAdvantage is not an insurance plan.
It was 1979, Pittsburgh. I was 14. Me and Dad used to grill hot dogs in the backyard and listen to the ball game on the radio. This one particular night in October, it was just me and Mom's. You see, Pop played for the Pirates, and he was about to hit the longest home run I'd ever seen. Bringing him back from a 3-1 deficit and winning the last World Series of the decade. I'll never forget that moment, and this year, I'm going to share that with my kids.
The World Series is on ESPN Radio, Sirius 120.
Are you an out-of-control parent? I'm Mark Merrill with today's Family Minute. As a child, I can remember my dad letting me sit on his lap and steer our old station wagon on a long, deserted road. But he was always clearly in control. It was in the old days before we wore seatbelts. Well, during the early childhood years, a parent should be in control of their child, deciding when the child will sleep, what they will eat, and what they will wear. But as their child grows towards adolescence, we need to steer away from being an in-control parent to being one that is out of control, letting go of the wheel, but still giving directions from the passenger seat. Remember, your family first.
The Family Minute with Mark Merrill is a production of Family First. To find some great resources for strengthening your family, go to FamilyMinute.net. That's FamilyMinute.net. Or call 1-800-956-8300. That's 1-800-956-8300.
AIDS has killed more children worldwide than there are in all the grade schools in New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, Washington, Atlanta, and Miami combined. The time to do something is now. The place is apathyislethal.org. AIDS is preventable. Apathy is lethal.
A public service announcement brought to you by the United Nations Foundation and the Ad Council.
My dad can throw a baseball 100 million feet.
Yeah, well, my dad can throw a football 1,000 bazillion feet. That's twice as far.
So, my dad can hold his breath underwater for 5 minutes.
That's nothing. My dad can make a 360, two-handed, backward slam dunk with his eyes closed.
Yeah, well, my dad, he can make quarters come out of his nose. A whole big deal.
My dad can eat a whole jalapeno pepper in one bite.
Get out.
Yep, that's impossible. He'd explode. Boom!
Kids who spend time with their fathers are less likely to get in trouble or fail in school. Be there for your kids. Give them someone to brag about. Remember, it takes a man to be a dad.
My dad can smash a soda can with his head.
No way.
Uh-huh. I saw him do it.
Cool.
Then we took him to the hospital.
Call 1-800-790-DADS for more information. A public service message from the National Fatherhood Initiative and the Ad Council.
I could see the runway lights, Riley. It's 48 past the hour. I'm Mark
Maron.
Yeah, but you're ready, right? You got to go deal with your car.
Yeah.
We got callers on the phone. Let's just hit this story a little bit. It turns out that, you know, Redwane El Hakim, 19, the son of Tunisian immigrants, died during an American bombardment of insurgents in Fallujah on July 17th. Now, what this means is that this sort of proves that there are European Muslims coming in from all around
Europe and from all around the world, really, into Iraq because it has become a cause, a Muslim cause. And this was the worst assumption. You know, we always knew that there were insurgents, you know, coming over from, you know, the Middle Eastern areas. But now it turns out that, you know, as, you know, we've talked about the multifaceted face of the insurgency, it seems like not unlike Chechnya, not unlike the conflict in Afghanistan that spawned bin Laden and, you know, the Afghani Arabs that were the core of al-Qaeda, this is happening again with Iraq, that because of George Bush's unilateral invasion, there are Muslims coming from all over the world because they see it as a crusade. He's made it a center of, like, the capital of new terrorism.
Well, yeah, and this young man, Redounier al-Hakim, is French,
yes.
Or was French. And it's the son of Tunisian immigrants, as you point out. And this story says that recruiters for Iraq started appearing in Britain, in France, in Germany, in Spain, in Italy, and even in Norway within months after the invasion last year. Now, France, of course, is a hotbed for two reasons. A, there are large numbers of Muslims from North African countries that live in France.
Yes.
And like this young man who, you know, is the son of immigrants from North Africa. And that ban on Islamic women or Islamic students wearing headscarves had a very, very big effect in France that I'm not sure a lot of people here in the States understand. People got really, and remain very, very upset about that ban. You'd think, you know, in America, somebody saying, well, you can't wear this, you can't wear that, people would think it's no big deal. In France, Muslims saw this as a slap against Islam.
Right.
And against Islamic tradition.
Well, what's really scary is you might be getting some people who would not be, you know, radical jihadists or radical Islamists and that. Like, you know, you get people like John Lynn Walker who went to Afghanistan originally because, you know, he wanted to go to a Muslim state, you know, to be a Muslim in the what he thought was the purest way possible. And now you actually have people who are coming from around the world not to go to a Muslim state, but to help fight the Americans and create a Muslim state out of Iraq and do whatever they can to dismantle, you know, the American efforts there. It's a scary bit of business that this is now a rallying call, literally a call to crusade, you know, that is going out in the international community.
And it's very, you know, one of the things that's troubling about this, Mark, is that it's very difficult for intelligence agencies to track this kind of recruitment. This recruitment, they don't set up a station in the middle of a plaza somewhere in Europe. They do this very quietly. They speak to people in small groups, then they expand those groups. And they, in some instances, isolate people from other, or isolate cells from other cells in a way that makes them very difficult to track by intelligence agents.
Well, hopefully this will enable them to maybe put some intelligence agents undercover. You know what I mean? Maybe that, you know, because of this, we might be able to find out more that way. We've got someone in Colorado, Van, in Colorado. What's going on there, buddy?
Hey, yeah, things are going well out here, guys.
All right.
Yeah, we went blue yesterday on the Zogby tracking pole.
Yes.
Oh, excellent, excellent.
Wait a minute, I think I've got a... There you go.
I think I've
got that going. So, you're feeling you're feeling the Kerry presence in Colorado?
Yeah, we're feeling it. We're feeling it. We believe.
Good, man.
We believe.
What part of the state are you in?
I'm in rural Boulder County.
Oh, nice, man.
Yeah.
I grew up in New Mexico. I used to drive up to Colorado. I love it.
Right, yeah. We're in an ocean of red here. But a couple of things. I've been doing a lot of canvassing. I've been in about 12 hours of street time so far.
Yeah.
And one of the things I'm seeing a lot of, especially, you know, about 35% of Colorado is registered independent or unaffiliated.
Uh-huh.
And this Michael Badnarak is going to do well.
The Libertarian candidate.
Yeah.
Really?
I think he's going to pull a lot of that unaffiliated that typically votes Republican.
Yeah, you know, that sort of, I find that a little disturbing, but I mean, I understand that people need to make their statement, and I understand that you do have a lot of rugged individuals up there who see themselves as Libertarian, but I wish that people would stick with, I don't know, maybe I'm not on the money here. I just wish that people would stick with the voting for one of the two so we can, you know, change things here.
But, you know, libertarians voting for the Libertarian candidate, people voting for the Libertarian candidate, in theory hurts Bush, much in the way people figure people voting for Nader, in theory hurt Kerry.
Yeah.
Theory.
Sure, let's do this. Brian in Columbus, Ohio. Brian, how are you?
Hey, Brian. Brian. Oh, no. You know what we got? We got Mason in Atlanta.
Oh, we do?
At I'm WWAA.
Sorry. Hi, Mason.
What's up, Mason?
Hi, guys.
How you doing?
What's going on?
I'm doing good.
Yeah.
I'm going to make a prediction of the next 3 or 4 days. I think it's going to be sort of well-timed, wall-to-wall bad news stories for Bush, and sort of borders on conspiracy theory, but all the people that they steamrolled over when the neocons rolled into D.C. and all the finger-pointing that's been going on, I think there's going to be some information probably coming out that's just unanswerable. You know, think about the finger-pointing with the CIA. I mean, these are people that take down governments for a living.
Oh, you mean from their side, all this, the stuff that's been cryptic is going to be made manifest, and it's all our speculations will have been true.
Right. I mean, think about all the stories that I'm sure have been squashed internally.
Right, right. That's a nice projection. I hope that does happen. That would be very entertaining, and it'll give us something to put on the air for at least another year.
Yeah, really.
Absolutely, and maybe hearings into the future.
Well, I hope so. I hope you're right. Thanks a lot, Mason.
Take care, Mason.
Okay, so we're going down to Brian in Columbus. Good morning, Brian. How are you?
Hey, Brian.
Good. How are you guys doing?
Good, man. What's up?
Hey, I'm just a born-again Christian, Republican, and I started listening to you guys. I heard about Air America coming to Columbus, and I think it's important to hear both sides. So I've been listening to you guys for about a month and a half or so.
Are you having a good time?
I mean, I agree with some of the things you say and some of the things, obviously, I don't agree.
Yeah.
But my biggest concern is what I hear you saying is, and I have, all my friends are Christian.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't hate the liberals. And maybe some do, but we certainly don't. I respect, you know, your guys' opinions and
sure.
your own opinions
sure.
and stuff. And, I mean, we're not, no one I know is hoping Bush brings in the rapture or anything like that. I hear you talk about that. I'm sure it's tongue-in-cheek.
No. It's weird, Brian. It's not really tongue in cheek. There is a sort of contingent of evangelicals that really, they're Christian Zionists. They send money to Israel. They believe.
So there's
definitely factions of the born again Christian movement that are thinking those lines. I just read an article today actually about some evangelical Christians, born agains, that really have a hard time with Bush's inability to sort of, you know, be human about the war and be sort of sorry about the number of lives that are being lost. That they feel that he does not behave in a Christian manner. How do you feel?
My problem with I can hardly even bring up the fact that I don't agree with Bush going in there because, I mean, I believe he did say weapons of mass destruction. I believe he did say that it was imminent threat.
Uh-huh.
And we haven't found that. If a Democrat had done that, our party would crucify him. I mean, we would hear about it.
You're right about that.
And it does trouble me. It's like, hey, we've got to hold our own people the same account as we do the other, or we lose credibility. It's just like in the Christian church, we're supposed to be more watching our own people, what we say and do, and not worry about everyone else.
But, Brian, I got to ask you this, because this is, I think, the thing that troubles some people. When you hear a guy like Pat Robertson, who purports to represent a large number of Christians, evangelical Christians, what in the world, I mean, when you start talking about praying for the death of Supreme Court justices, that scares people.
That's scary, and it's wrong, and it's not biblical. And there's many factions and interpretation of Scripture, unfortunately, that people get way off. And
well, Brian,
I know it does represent us, and it's unfortunate.
Well,
yeah,
it sounds like you're pretty thinking guy and a sensitive guy. Unfortunately, we're running out of time. We'd like to continue this conversation. Call us another time. We got to end the show.
Please.
But it was nice talking to you briefly. That was I wanted to get into why he was voting for him, because it sounded
like he was
definitely had some problems with him. Here's the liberal agenda for today from the Streisand compound. One, condemn man who tried to run down Catherine Harris, but praise his initiative. Not very Christian coming off that call.
Right.
Two, offer to drive still drunk Red Sox fans to the polls next Tuesday.
Uh-oh.
Three, as an alternative to scarce flu vaccine, drive through poor neighborhoods giving out the number of your aromatherapist. Call Arafat. Give him the number of your aromatherapist. I'm really punching it. Can you hear that, Kayla? I'm punching the end, yeah. Today's phrase, just drop it into conversation. The blacks in Florida should get to vote twice, man. Once for this year and once for 2000, man.
Amen.
That's right, amen. What do we got tomorrow, Riley?
Coming up tomorrow, we've got a really special guest joining us. Paul Krugman. You remember Paul Krugman.
Oh, great.
He's been
great
with us before. Columnist for the New York Times. He's going to talk about the final push for the White House tomorrow here on Morning's Edition on Air America Radio. Have a good one, Marin.
Get that car fixed, Riley.